Steve, thank you very much. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Just a quick note, no Russian athletes will be employed during today's program.
Are you canceling Sergei Bubka's interview?
Bubka was supposed to be on with us at 1:30, Steve, and we have said no thank you to Bubka.
No Bubka. We're Bubka free.
Right.
Why does everybody cheat? I asked you this off the
air. That's a great question.
I'm serious. I mean...
That is a great question. Why does everybody cheat?
I mean, I played Battleship growing up, and I never cheated once, and you do not believe me because you said everyone that has played Battleship has cheated.
If you look at the instructions, if you get the game Battleship in the instructions, it tells you how to play the game, and then it tells you the last half a page is how to cheat.
Miss.
Right. And then you just casually, as you're looking the person right. in the eye, you take the PT boat or the cruiser, you take one of the boats out and you put it somewhere else on the grid.
You seriously did that every time you played?
Everybody did.
Those are naval maneuvers.
Right.
That's cheating.
I've once played Battleship with the Pope, and I could see him cheating.
They got a great army. Great navy, I should say, right?
At the Vatican City.
The flotilla.
The Vatican City Marina. Right.
That breaks my heart.
The Pope cheated.
No, I don't believe you on
that. B7? Hold on a second. Hold on.
That's
miss.
What he sounds like.
Yeah, the Pope sounds like that. That's my impression.
Only when he plays Battleship.
Right.
All right. First of all, that shocks me that you admitted that and Bertrand is backing you up on this.
Steve, I'm telling the truth, right?
You
would be
cheated.
The only person that's ever played Battleship that didn't cheat, ever.
I can't recall that I cheated, but I wouldn't be surprised if I did. I mean, you're six and it's just, the boat's just floating there.
It's easy to move it.
Right.
It's stationary.
When Milton Bradley came up with the idea of Battleship, he thought, I have to think of a game that everyone can cheat at. Everyone.
I think it fosters creativity.
Okay, but you said something important there, Steve. You're 6 years old. You can't really remember if you cheated. This is a big deal.
Well, you mean the Russian Olympians?
Yeah.
Or
former
Olympians?
You're the one who brought up Battleship, not us.
No. But I'm saying as a six-year-old, you expect it. As adults.
Right.
I mean,
this is high stakes. The Olympics are high stakes. But look at our history just in, well, baseball is America's pastime.
First thing that comes up.
And to this day, I guarantee you the heads of baseball, the commissioner of baseball and everyone around him absolutely knew that there were steroids being used and they did nothing because the game was exciting. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire hitting home runs every time they showed up was just exciting and they didn't want to do anything to squelch that.
But that's so wrong.
It when it gets to that level, when it gets to professional sports, playing Battleship with your cousin in the backyard, that's no big deal. But once you're getting paid to be an athlete, then it becomes a big deal.
And the Olympics, I mean, it's just a mockery now. I mean, look what's going on with the Olympics. You can't go there because of Zika virus. Are they even finished with any of the arenas?
I think they're finished with some, but not all of the arenas.
They've got the temporary stadium they've built in Washington Park is ready to go. Oh, wait, we don't have them.
That's not here, yeah.
I'm glad we didn't get them. And now I'm...
Because we would have had the Zika virus?
No, because I just don't want all these people coming in, possible terrorists. It makes you a target.
I think it would be great. My kids are, you know, working age. To have them be working at an Olympics, that would have been awesome.
They could work at the Lucas Museum. Oh, wait, is that coming here too?
No, that while you were gone, that was settled.
No.
We're okay with the...
No, it isn't.
And then it was unsettled.
It got unsettled?
Yeah, because Kevin texted me when we were in Disney.
Oh, I thought that was settled.
And Jim had his podcast, Rebel Force Radio, and he announced to all the people there that, this is great news. And then I texted him, wait a minute, retract your statement.
I didn't know that got unsettled.
But I did find out after reading all the articles that there's a little problem going on at the Friends of the Parks where they can't really agree because some of them think, you know what, we should go with this museum. And the other people are like, no.
Oh,
so
really?
There's infighting going there.
Among the friends?
Yeah, they're not friends anymore.
Wow, I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah, no, that's not settled. But back to the Olympics, I just... find this to be a terrible, terrible thing, and I'm boycotting them.
All right, you're not going to go this year? Wouldn't you think if you were a Russian athlete who
shot put, remember? Thank you for that.
You're welcome for that. But if you were set to participate in these games, you'd have to know there would be some sort of testing going on, you would think.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
And and as an athlete, were you slipped a Mickey? Or are you fully aware of the fact that you're cheating?
They would tell you, I think most athletes
Here,
have some
this.
Story where they say, you know, my trainer was giving me stuff. I thought they were Flintstones chewables, and then all of a sudden I find out that they're performance-enhancing drugs. I didn't know. It was my
just thought
performer.
It was whey powder.
And yeah.
Well, this is a little different, too, in that it's not individual team members. I mean, I think the allegation
the whole
is...
team.
Well, also, though, that it's government state-sponsored. That, you know, this... I mean, in a way, you can almost feel that maybe the athletes were pressured into doing them. Some of this, I don't know. But,
wow.
This, you know, and it came from above. That's the
from
allegation.
Heaven?
No, not that far above.
Oh.
This is terrible.
It is terrible.
More medals for us.
You know, you are always half full, aren't you, Bertrand? That's what I like about you.
Something or else.
All right, let's... We'll continue to explore this. If you have any thoughts, ideas, questions, recipes, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here. Steve Bertrand along as well for the ride on this Friday. Someone has texted us. We were talking about Battleship. I can't believe people cheated. 317 said before, Milton Bradley made the plastic game. We played Battleship on paper with a grid, early 50s.
The first few times I played Battleship, so this would have been the mid-60s, that's exactly the way we played it, was one of my mom's aunts or uncles filled out these grid sheets on paper, and we played it on paper.
You know what always drove me crazy was, you can't say the name of the game, the card game, but BS, right?
Yeah.
When someone would say, I got 2 8s, and they put it down, they're actually putting down like 6 cards. That
yeah.
always drove me crazy.
Oh.
That shouldn't be allowed, I don't think.
It's cheating, and it's right? not right.
It's cheating.
Somebody says you can't cheat in electronic Battleship.
No, meaner, that's true.
That's why I will never play it.
Right, we've banned it from our house as well. What fun is it if you can't cheat at Battleship?
I can't believe you cheated.
It's understood. Everybody involved knows that you're going to cheat. Like, both when you sit down to a game of Battleship, you give each other a quick look like, we're going to cheat on this, right? Yeah, we're going to cheat. It's Battleship. Everyone does. You're
it's
the only
war,
one.
Wendy. It's war.
All is fair in love, war, and Battleship. That's the oldest axiom
you're
in the world.
You're breaking my heart here, people.
And you know how competitive I am. I don't cheat at anything. If
oh, you like I believe you
I'm
now?
If I'm playing solitaire, I won't cheat. I have too much integrity. But in Battleship, it's the game of cheating. They used to call it Battle Cheat. They didn't even call it Battleship in the early days.
Milton Bradley's got was
a
hot one. It's
a
twister. Spin the spinner.
You guys are
call
sick.
The shots. Twister ties you up
in
a knot.
That's Twister by MB.
Didn't that make you feel good a little bit going back to a time when things were really easy and no one cheated? Did you cheat at Twister?
No. And that song, by the way, was our first dance when we got married. The Twister theme song.
I love that.
That's too much information. Okay? I really don't want to know.
You didn't need to know that?
No.
Sorry.
Someone else texted us with an awesome question. Why do they allow professional athletes in the Olympics? Because isn't it supposed to be amateur? And I didn't think that was the case, but you brought up something off the air.
All right. For years and years and years in the Olympics, the deal was you had to be amateur status, meaning you could not be paid to be an athlete in the event you were competing in. You could be an athlete in some other event, but if you were doing shot put, you couldn't be a professional shot putter. Is there such a thing? I don't think there is.
I don't know.
I don't know if there is such a thing.
But I would like to look into that.
I have no idea if there is or not.
A little side job for me.
But then if you look at, like in basketball, when the United States fielded the Dream Team, which is the greatest basketball players in the world, represented the Olympics, the U.S. in the Olympics, Michael Jordan, all and on and on. What chance did anyone stand if you were
and
a
he
team
played
coming
on the
from
Olympic
somewhere?
Team?
Yeah, all the best players of his era, and that continues today.
That's
in
when
basketball.
It changed, wasn't it? Like, was it
I
the
think
90s
that was the first
or...
one. I think
right.
basketball.
Really,
well, no wonder people are cheating now.
Well, it's ruined. I mean, it's taken away a lot from the Olympics, as far as I'm concerned.
It has.
I'm boycotting.
The tennis is all pro players.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a bunch
what's
of
the
sports.
Point?
Come on, Wendy. You didn't know that it's been 20 years.
Hockey, too.
Yeah, hockey.
I guess the hockey
Remember
players,
the hockey
yeah.
break? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right, and I'm going to start a Facebook page to boycott the Olympics.
You and Vladimir Putin, you're both boycotting the Olympics this year. You know,
he looks
honestly,
better without a shirt than I do, though.
We'll see.
It's just mad because he's a man.
I'll see the world.
I have stumped Bertrand.
Will's love. I'm just picturing boom, boom.
Don't do it, Steve. Don't picture it. Don't do it.
I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
You're going to have an HR meeting just for picturing it. You don't need that.
No,
I'm
well,
actually
let's see.
Blushing
I know.
From something I said.
I know.
I offended myself. When does that happen?
It's a new low.
God, I'm blushing. I'm heating up.
You're not the only one, sister.
All right.
Well, we'll see now, won't we, if Vladimir Putin's team, if he takes his team and goes home.
Well, they'll appeal this in some way, won't they? They have the right to appeal.
I think this was an appeal.
Oh, it was already?
Yeah. Well, you know, but if the track team is banned, that's a big part of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Russia withdraws from the games altogether.
Wow. That says a lot.
And I'm just sitting, I don't know anything about, you know, the team or the Olympics, but it just seems like it would be in keeping with them.
It used to be that was, for us in the United States, that was the rivalry, was America had to beat Russia. That any other country we beat, that was fine, but Russia was our goal for years and years and years.
That was the Cold War.
Yeah. But that's kind of dissipated a bit, hasn't it? Are they our number one arch enemy when it comes to sports? Is it Russia? I don't know if it is.
It's, you know, and that's another reason why I think the Olympics has been diminished, because we used to fight the Cold War and those things.
Yeah.
And everyone came together in the sporting world. It was a beautiful moment.
And you don't have those rivalries now, like national rivalries. At least I don't think so.
I just remember Russia would always have a bunch of weightlifters, not all named
mostly
Yuri.
Women.
Some of them women. Not all, but one. And they just had limitless strength.
Yeah.
Like they could lift anything.
Wonder why. Cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
You think they were cheating?
And why do people say that? Because it's really Peter, pumpkin eater.
I don't know. People are very creative.
You're cheating if you're eating someone else's pumpkin?
I don't know.
The same hit.
It's what? Nyet? Steve says nyet to that.
Oh, I thought you said hit,
I
like
said
battleship.
Hit. That was a direct
hit
right
hit.
There.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Steve has the
news. I like the way the show's going, by the way. This is a great Friday show.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Very freeform. All right, Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
And finally found my old blue jean.
Oh, we're going to blues it out a little bit right now with ZZ Top. How. On a Friday.
Wow.
Bill, I think you got the blue jean blues.
Why do you say this?
Because I looked below your belt.
First of all, I'm filing a report, just so you know. Yesterday, there was a man standing in front of our studio, our lovely studio here on Michigan Avenue. He looked like a model.
He looked like a Gap model. Or even, Giorgio Armani.
You know what he looked like? If you ever look through a magazine, mostly men's magazines, but I think women's magazines too, and somewhere in the middle, there's an ad that features a little a cologne sample.
Right.
There's always a guy
in
there.
Smelly sample, yeah.
Yeah.
With no shirt on, and he's got water dripping from his pecs.
He's near a boat or a canoe or something, and he looks way too perfect for anybody's good. And that guy that you see in magazines was standing outside of our studio, and I paid attention because he was wearing jean shorts, and I said, look, that's you. You say I can't wear those. Not just you. Society says I can't wear those. And yet that guy was wearing them, and nobody was troubled by it.
Well, he could pull it off. I'd like to pull it off.
All right.
Happy Friday.
All right.
But your daughters were here yesterday, Kylie and Reese, and they have forbid you to wear jean shorts.
They've forbidden me to wear all jean shorts. I can't
jorts.
Wear any, or as the kids like to call them, the jorts.
Or grandpa's pants.
But
we're learning now that the Russian track and field team actually wasn't doping. They were wearing jean shorts.
They were wearing jean shorts.
And they should be
kicked
out.
They've been banned because of that. And I have three pairs, two of standard jean shorts that I'm not allowed to wear.
Wait a minute. You have three pairs?
Yep, three pairs. And then have one that are referred to as the forbidden pants.
Are you wearing them today?
I'm right now wearing the forbidden pants.
All right. Your daughter Kylie cracked me up yesterday because she mentioned the term ombre, which is a big hot new thing that women have for their hair.
I didn't know what that meant when she said that.
Where it's dark on top, and as you get to the bottom of the hair, it lightens up.
Yeah. And why is that called ombre?
That's just...
It's just what the word is for it?
The fading of color from dark to light.
Because I think ombre is a John Wayne movie.
That's H-O-M.
Well, what is
this?
This
is O-M-B.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
Of course you wouldn't.
I had no idea. Because the two of you were discussing the forbidden pants, and you kept throwing around the word ombre, and I'm like, I've been on the planet a while. I've never heard of this. I don't know what this is.
Kim Kardashian has it going on.
It starts out dark and then it lightens.
Yeah, it's just
that's
like...
That's called ombre?
Right, because you're a bad ombre. Shut your mouth.
Talking about Kardashian.
ombre now, because in the old days you would bleach the roots of your hair and people would go, oh, your roots are showing, it's time to get a touch up. Now it's like the roots and the midsection of your hair down to like the your ear level is dark, and
then it
bleaches out towards the bottom. So stand up. Can I just...
You can see these. These are the forbidden pants.
Oh, my God. They're, first of all, did you do... Oh, my God. Did you dip them in bleach yourself?
No, they came this way. I wouldn't... I'm not allowed to be near bleach.
He paid extra for that.
Yeah.
Listen, I...
I can't touch bleach.
I very rarely side with you. But I'm going to right now.
I'm trying to remember the last time you did.
There are a couple few times
a year.
We
got to go back into the archives.
A few times a year, I back you up.
Right.
I think your family made fun of you for something, and I backed you up.
There was some movie on that I was crying. We were all watching a movie together, and I was crying, and
there
you
was
were on my
else.
Side. Was there another?
There was some other thing they were teasing you about. But those shorts. Wait, stand up one
all
more
right,
time.
All right, sure.
Because they're not. Can you turn around? I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this on. Oh, yeah, no, they're bad. I was going to say...
What happened in back that made you decide they're bad?
I'll tell you exactly.
Don't make her say it.
No, I will say it. No, it's not. No offense to you. It's the pants.
Well, here's but what I'm happened. Wearing the pants.
Okay.
Bill, it's not you. It's the pants.
Let me
no
just
worries.
Explain. Seriously. At first look, the color's horrific. They are ombre, where it looks like the bottom portion of the legs were dipped in bleach. That's lame.
But you can tell by
There's
looking
no
at
but.
Them. You can tell by looking at them.
That's B.
That, because the way it is it starts out dark blue and then it
That's
drips down to a lighter blue.
Blue
and then it. Well, it's yeah.
It's
I guess
still
it's
already
medium.
Faded.
It's still
denim.
A faded right.
And but, then it turns white.
But you can tell by looking at it that it was done. I think purposely. Couldn't you tell by looking at it? And you thought I did these because I wouldn't know how to do that. I'd have no idea how to do it. I'd make these forbidden pants look silly if I tried to do that.
Here's the problem. From the front, I was going to side with you and say they look kind of like athletic shorts.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a tight-fitting jean short.
They're baggy.
Right. So it looked in the front, it's like, you know what? You could probably get by with them.
I used to play basketball in these.
Okay, then that's even lamer. Because when you turned Why? Around, there are butt pockets like you would see on a jean short.
Right.
So all of a sudden, the athletic look goes away, and they look like baggy old men's jean shorts.
Wow.
And there's a place for your slide rule.
Yeah.
Or a hammer. They're like
right.
carpenter's.
My slide rule and my hammer.
Carpenter's shorts meets jean shorts
that's
meets the athletic.
But that's the beauty of these is
beauty?
A 1,001 uses.
They're versatile.
They're versatile.
Use
I could have
as a rag.
I could play basketball in them. I could have a, if I knew what a slide rule was, I could have a slide rule in them. I could have anything I want
or
in them.
A T-square, I guess.
If I needed a T-square, although I don't know what that
You're
is either.
Architect?
I'm not positive what that
Mr.
is.
Mr. Brady would have used it. It's
oh,
like
I know what that is. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the beauty of these pants is.
There's no beauty.
You really, no matter, almost any occasion, wherever you're heading, these would be your go-to pants.
How long have you had them, Bill?
About 15 years. Mm. Nearly 15 years. And when only one of my daughters saw these today, Kylie saw these. And can I quote Kylie when she saw these? Here's what she said as we were passing in the hall. Don't. She just said don't. And that was it.
Well, first of all, you're adorable. And you're so sweet to remember this because yesterday when we talked to your daughters on the air, we've a listener, I think it was Joe who called. We have his information, I hope. He suggested an idea where the girls dress you for 1 week starting Monday.
Yeah.
They're going to just take any part of your ensemble.
Right.
And they're going to put together, you know, some outfits for you to wear for the week. And
but
then,
they want to take it deeper. They want to go shop. They're trying to figure out if we can all go shopping. We did this a couple weeks ago, and it didn't end well. Because their taste, like what they want to put me in, it doesn't look like me. It looks like somebody else.
Well, I think we should be the judge of that. And we can take pictures and put it up on Facebook. And we can also, you know, if you look at the live stream that's going on or whatever. Stop looking, by the way. We got in the radio, so you don't have to look at us.
Right.
But True. We could have like a little contest, and for a week they're supposed... Is that too long? Should we do 2 days, they dress you, and then you finish out the week and you're...
I think it should be a half a show per day so that I can bring a change of clothes.
You need a wardrobe change now? Is this in your rider?
Yes. I'm like Celine Dion.
I hope to God you brought one today.
I do in the car have. I do
seriously?
Have, yeah, in the car I have a regular pair of pants.
All right, I'll go long at 11 so you'll have time.
I'm honestly shocked it took you so long to realize that he was wearing these, Wendy.
I don't look at Bill that way. I mean, and now, and not in a bad way. I am so sloppy today. I was out on the front porch, on the porch swing this morning, having coffee with Jimmy Mack, and I realized, oh my God, I have to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm wearing, like, the bad Adidas, like, shoe. I mean, I am so sloppy today.
Right.
So I never look at the fashion. We just are the most relaxed show on the radio.
Pretty much.
In more ways than one.
Sure.
So I didn't look at him. Plus, you were sitting behind a desk when I got in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then,
but
oh my
somebody,
God.
Like, downstairs, there was somebody who rode the elevator with me who I thought was going to say something like, nice pants, or where'd you get those pants, or I would like some pants like that. But he didn't. Like, at the he was about to, and then I don't know what happened, but he just didn't say like
he edited himself.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You could see words coming to him, and
like,
then he was
whoa.
That's what I thought he was going to say, but then he didn't. He backed off.
I don't think he meant it in a good way.
I couldn't tell.
All right, well, we'll take a picture, and we have some callers who want to back you up. And
right.
Well, I mean, honestly, it's Father's Day weekend.
Right.
You could do whatever you want. I don't
right.
really care.
But when you just hear one word from one of your children, and that word is don't, that's hurtful. Isn't that hurtful?
Don't means don't, and you did.
She just shook her head, don't. All right, a quick break, and then more. I'm wearing the forbidden pants. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I am voguing, as I do most times, most
strike
days.
A pose.
I am. And Kevin came in and took pictures of the forbidden pants, and they will be put on not just our website on Facebook, but on several fashion websites.
Kanye West has got a fashion line. He wants to market
wants
those
to consult
now.
With me. I got a text from Kanye West who wants to have a sit-down after the show. So we'll have a
sit-down.
Sure,
so he can't see your shorts.
That's hurtful.
Now,
that's,
Kevin,
you've gone too
did
far.
You get a clear photo because you were giggling so much?
There was a lot of giggling.
The over-the-shoulder just threw me.
I did a Betty Grable pose, which Kevin told me was not. Kevin doesn't know who Betty Grable is.
Right.
He said, you don't do a Betty Grable pose.
But it's weird because he said, Bill's got nice gams.
He did say that. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, so we took a front and back view.
Yeah.
Because from the front, I would say, you know what? Whatever, wear them. The back was a deal breaker.
Fun in the front, business in the back, Wendy. Wink, wink.
So you have mullet pants on?
Yeah, I'm wearing mullet pants. I think these pants, if they ever went out of style, and I don't know if they did, are going to come back in style, and I'll be lauded some sort of a fashion genius. That's what I anticipate happening. Wait until Fashion Week. Right. You'll be singing a different song then.
Keep anticipating. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Bill. Wear what you want to wear. You know, we reach an age where it doesn't matter whether we are dressed to the nines or anything else. It's how we're comfortable.
I'm currently dressed to the fours.
That's a high mark right
that's
there.
That's not that high of a mark.
Dress to the sixes and enjoy the pockets in the back and yeah. the place where you put stuff when you're out garage sailing or whatever.
Yep.
And enjoy yourself, you know? And I've had six kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They all had a
they all with you right now?
Down to one.
Oh.
He just graduated high school.
Oh.
So I'm proud of him for that.
What, are you at a beach party right now?
Pardon me?
Are you at a beach party right now?
No, I'm at a garage sale.
Oh, awesome. Do they have any denim pants that are ombre?
Three for a dollar.
No, they got a lot of pottery and some wood carvings and some jewelry and stuff.
Any old-time radios? Because I collect those.
Let me look. Do you have any old-time radios? No, they're shaking heads. Sorry,
Wayne. I love garage sales. This is a new segment, by the way, where listeners shop at garage sales
right.
for me.
Sure. Sure.
Well, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you can find me wandering the hills. I collect stuff for boys and girls clubs, and I'm always looking for knitting and yarn and knitting needles and crochet needles. We're teaching the kids how to crochet.
That's sweet.
And pardon?
That is sweet.
Dave, that's so nice of you, and thank you for your support. It means a lot to me. See, there's one person on my side.
Enjoy your jeans and have a jeanful day.
Thank you, Dave.
Happy Father's Day, Dave.
Thank you.
That's one vote.
One of many. I say many, but I guess it's just one.
One of one.
One of one.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, how you guys doing? Bill.
Yes.
I agree with you. You know what? I'm 65. My wife works retail, part-time retail at a major department store.
Yeah.
I was bringing home shirts. Oh, look at this. It's fashionable. I don't like it. I don't want to wear it. I'm very happy with what I have. What's
sure.
wrong with that?
Look down and tell us what you're wearing right now, Jeremy, and I don't mean this in a sexy way. I mean, are you
too late.
Comfortable? Is it a T-shirt, a polo shirt, button-down?
I've got on a polo. I've got on a pair of Spanx shorts that are about 10 years old.
What shorts? Spanx?
Like knee length.
Oh.
I call them Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, I like those.
Bermuda shorts,
that's
sure.
That's a good look.
Yeah, and I've got on a pair of Crocs because I'm going to go out in the backyard and do some yard work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Crocs.
Well, I do. I think they're comfortable. But, you know, I mean, I'm comfortable like this.
Right.
You know, and like we went out the other day, my wife was looking at me going, oh, you don't have any better shirts here? I was like, whatever, you know.
But if you did that to her, it'd be grounds for divorce. If every time your wife put on an outfit, if you said, oh, is that what you're wearing, that shirt? I don't know.
Or how about the classic line? Do I look good?
Right. Good. That's a trap.
Just say yes.
Always say yes to that question.
I've been married for 40 years. I say yes. You know, but I mean, I agree with you, Bill. This sometimes it gets a little, to me, it gets a little bit too carried away.
Yep.
You know?
Hey, Jeremy, do you have access to a computer? Because I really would like you to look at our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and take a look at these shorts and call us back and tell me if you've changed your mind.
Can I make a comment to you?
Sure.
I don't do Facebook.
Good for you. Do you have internet, though? You can just sign on, you know.
Yeah.
Well, look up at our Facebook page.
Google the words really fashionable shorts. You'll see them.
And you won't see these.
Oh, come on.
All right, I'll do that, guys.
Thanks, you, Jeremy. Have a great Father's Day.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, buddy, you're two for
see,
two.
See, 100% of the calls, Wendy, were on my side.
We only took two.
All right, I guess technically you're right. But do you think, are there any clothes that you think you would have the right to out and out say to Jimmy, you are forbidden? These are clothes that I have now been forbidden to wear by my family.
They will not talk
to me if I wear these in their presence.
First of all, I buy all the clothes for everybody in our house.
Do you really?
Jim, I cannot get him to go shopping with me.
Wow.
Which is frustrating in and of itself because I have to buy various sizes and styles and then I bring it home and it's like fashion show, fashion show, fashion show at lunch and he has to try it on right then and there, the boys too, and whatever they don't like I have to return. So it's really a pain.
Boy, that's a lot of effort.
It
is. I cannot believe you do that.
That's so much. Isn't that a lot?
You got to stand up for yourself there, Wendy.
Well, I thought it was busy when we had toddlers. It's busy for me having teenage boys. There's more to look out for, so we don't get a lot of time to go shopping, but I think that's going to be a priority for Father's Day.
So there's never a day where you guys all just go shopping together and get new stuff? That doesn't happen?
No.
Wow.
They're boys. They're all boys. Nobody wants to go shopping. Jim starts talking about how his mom would drag him to Corvettes, and he would just be in the toy section for 5 hours while she was shopping.
Yeah.
So he's said these stories, and now the kids don't want to come.
Oh, man.
Michael will go shopping with me.
That is a lot. But really, to do what you do, to just pick out all the stuff, bring it home in different sizes.
I do.
Have them try it, and then bring all the extra stuff back. And at the store, they're okay with that? They don't mind that you're returning most of...
But you should hear me every time. It's like, be careful when you're trying them on. Don't rip the tags off. It's just, you know, our store dressing room is in our living room.
Yeah.
We invite the neighbors over to watch. What do you think?
They all vote. They hold up numbers.
But there was one item I made Jim get rid of. It was a you know, like an Indian blanket, like a Native American blanket that looks, a lot of people have these blankets for picnics and stuff, a very Navajo looking print.
And you wear it?
No, but do you know those blankets?
Yeah, I know those.
He had like a pullover hoodie like that.
Oh.
That was very like Grateful Dead hippie.
Oh, yeah.
Just. It's
kind of a southwestern looking.
Yes.
Yeah.
He kept holding on to that, and it would always go in the Goodwill pile, and then I'd find it hanging in the closet again. And I finally just said, I will not go anywhere with you wearing that.
Really? Was that bad?
It's just
not
functional.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He looked really silly in it. I mean, unless I'm dating Dirty Harry, it just wasn't working. That's the one thing I made him give away, and some like acid washed jeans that he. What is with guys where you hang on to things for 15 years? Somebody just texted and said, I have polo shirts from the 80s I still wear, but I did get rid of the jean shorts.
But polo shirts, I think, are immune to this because the polo shirts of today look like the polo shirts of the 70s, 80s.
But they wear out.
Yeah, they do wear out. But if, I mean, if you kept it in the back of your closet and only wore it a couple times a year, a polo shirt could last you for 20 or 30 years, couldn't it?
You're frugal and stylish.
Thank you very much.
Well, check out our Facebook page and see Bill Leff's forbidden shorts.
The forbidden pants.
Shorts.
Yeah, they're pants and shorts. Yep. We'll take a break.
Shorts.
And then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, Kurt Wagner is here from TVShowPatrol.com. He just offered me $500 for my pants.
To take them off
to burn
and burn them.
I don't know. Whatever he wants to do with them is fine. That's
Kurt,
$500.
No.
Okay.
You know what,
Kurt? I believe the word was don't.
Yeah, as my daughter Kylie said earlier this morning, don't. Kurt liked them a little bit, and then he saw in the corner there's a logo that says UB638, which is my reggae band. You know that. And that was the deal breaker for Kurt. He didn't like the logo on there.
Yeah, I don't like any part of them, really.
Right. Except I don't think they're ombre. I think it's supposed to be like a paint effect. I think it's supposed to look like paint has dripped.
Yeah.
It looks like you just dipped them in whitewash.
Exactly. I don't think it's necessarily like
Were you curb painting?
The real ombre
I don't think curb
deal.
Painting is a thing, is it?
Yeah, my brother used
what
to do
it. What is curb
it.
Painting?
You paint the addresses on the curbs
oh, that?
In the
yeah,
city.
Yeah, I was doing that. That's exactly what I was doing. All right, Kurt, let's look at one of the bigger stories from TV this week, and that's one of the stars of The Real O'Neills, which is one of Wendy's favorite shows.
I love it.
Talks about it all the time, thinks it's one of the funniest shows on TV, but one of the stars, Noah Galvin, said something extremely controversial, and now they're paying the price. What
right.
went on?
Well, I don't know. A couple weeks or a month ago, he did an interview in Vulture where, I don't know if it was a bad day or what, but he was just ripping on everybody. He took Colton Haynes to task for coming the way he came out. In an EW interview or coming out so late or whatever.
And Colton Haynes, who is he? I'm sorry.
He was in Arrow. He played, I can't remember what character he played. He's also been in Teen Wolf on MTV.
Oh, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He's been
yeah.
around. He used
yeah.
to be an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
That's where I know
and
him
is
from.
He gay?
Yes.
Okay.
So he came out publicly.
Yeah.
Noah has been out. He's in his early 20s. He's mm-hmm. been out. And he plays the gay character on... The Real O'Neills.
Mm-hmm.
But so he took him to task, and then he took Eric Stone Street to task for playing a very stereotypical gay man on Modern Family.
Yeah.
He plays Cam. And
he's not gay in real life.
He's not gay in real life.
And there was
but Mitchell is, isn't he?
Yeah, the actor who plays Mitchell
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Right. So there was some kind of a reference to that, too, that he's playing a gay character and he's not really
right.
gay and
right.
he's overdoing
and,
it.
And then there were some other things that didn't really have to do with... Gay, being gay or not being gay and that kind of stuff. But I mean, he just sort of this whole interview was sort of him ranting about things.
Yeah.
And it has now affected his show somewhat in that ABC considered dropping part of the episode order for the next season of the show.
Because they do such a good job. And I follow him on Twitter. And Noah Galvin was really kind of saying, this is a great role for me because I am gay and I'm able to talk about it. And the show's a little risque and it's really funny. You would think someone who has come out and has spent a lot of time getting teased or taunted wouldn't turn around and do that behavior to someone else.
Right. Right. It's just. Not a, it's, you
it's
know,
not right.
Like we were saying earlier, I just can't believe a publicist didn't stop him when he was doing it, when he was going on
But
the
this
rant.
Was in a magazine interview, so is there always, like an actor wouldn't necessarily have a publicist there during
Most
a magazine interview?
Most of the time
interview.
They do. Most of the time they do, unless it's, you know, I've done interviews one-on-one with people without a publicist involved, if the publicist trusted me or if I knew the star well.
Oh.
But most of the time, even on phone interviews, they're sitting and listening. Now, they might be doing something wherever they are in their office, but...
But they'll stop. If you ask a question that they think is too-pointed a question, they'll say,
right.
stop, pause, let's think about this before
right.
we answer.
Or he's not going to answer. I mean, I've actually had a publicist say he's not going to answer that.
Wow.
Things like that, you know.
What was that? Who was it and what was the question? Can you say?
It was an actor who had been involved in an accident in Offset.
Yeah.
And she didn't think that he wanted to talk about it, but he actually did want to talk about it. So he told her that. Yes.
So he can, the person, the
well,
celebrity
yeah, because,
can veto
well,
it and say, no, I'm good.
The celebrity's paying the publicist, so it's not, you know,
oh.
you know, it's not a, he's the boss. So,
right.
you know, in this case, he let me, you know, he felt free to, you know.
See, I need people to tell me to shut up. I should pay them to
Well,
tell
and
me
apparently
to-
so does Noah Galvin. Now, he's since apologized for all this stuff, but, you know, after it's said, I don't know that an apology is necessarily... all
it's
that.
It's not enough?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that it feels genuine. I don't know that anybody ever takes it and says, oh, yeah.
But what normally happens in a case like this is somebody at the network or maybe the producers of The Real O'Neills call up this kid and they go,
apparently
hey.
They read him the Riot Act.
Yeah, I bet.
And they considered lowering the episode order, like I said, but he's apparently had run-ins with them before.
Oh, really?
Ego and entitlement.
Yeah. Ego and entitlement was the quote on the story, exactly, yeah.
But here's what's interesting. There are actors, most notably Alan Cumming, who have come to this kid's defense and said, what he says is true. Let him speak his mind. It's not entirely false.
Well, and it was. I think Noah said something about he was trying to begin living his life in all truth or something like that.
But that's the way he wants to do it. Other people do it differently.
But you know, it's unfortunate that
little dummy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody should tell anybody else when they can come out or when they cannot.
Sure,
come out.
Of course. It's personal.
Yeah, it's personal, and I think a lot of times, you know, okay, think the truth, but if you're not asked about it, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, because you can't just say crappy things and then go, I'm sorry.
Right.
Listen, you've got to think before you talk in life, but more importantly, when you're being interviewed and you're a celebrity, you have to think before you talk.
Yeah, there's a lot
of the line. And let me just say, Facebook posts, Twitter posts, any social media post, same thing.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot, you know, it's getting a lot less polite out there.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. All right, so just quick, in brief, it has not affected the episode order for Real O'Neills. They're coming back on schedule with as many episodes, but they were threatening.
It almost did.
Yeah. All right, we have more to discuss with Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach us very easily. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's kind of a free-form Friday, I think, today.
That's fair. Yeah, that's totally fair. There is some Wilmer Valderrama news, Kurt, and it's not that he's dating one of Hollywood's top starlets. He's going to be back on television, correct?
Yes. His show got canceled before Christmas last year.
What show was he on last year?
What was that future, that movie adaptation? No, I'm not going to think of it. Anyway, he's going to be on NCIS, and the reason I bring it up is because somebody, a caller recently asked about why Michael Weatherly was leaving NCIS and who they were going to get to replace Michael Weatherly. And
Wilmer!
Yeah, and he's going to play, they don't have a name yet that I know of, but he's going to play a quote-unquote charismatic loose cannon agent.
Oh, I would love to see a show with a charismatic loose cannon agent.
Apparently he had been deep undercover for years and years and so long that everybody thought he was dead.
Oh, wow.
But he was still undercover and now he's back.
He just broke up with somebody.
Yeah.
Who did he just break up with? Because we were trying to figure out how
Demi Lovato was it?
It was Demi Lovato.
Yeah, because I said he's really cute. You guys don't think he is. And I thought, you know, perhaps Demi Lovato was lucky to have him.
Well, isn't there a huge...
There's a big... There? Yeah, like 16 years.
Not that I'm being
years.
Judgy.
No, you're not being judgy. You're just being honest.
My mother is 12 years older than my father.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
How about that?
And they're still happily married?
Yes.
All right, so it's very possible. Did your mom ever date Wilder Valderrama?
Wilmer Valderrama. The show that he was in was Minority Report.
Oh, and, right, I remember that. That was the one that was based on Tom Cruise's movie.
Yes, yeah, right, exactly. I met him last summer at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, and he was the nicest guy. We just talked to him for the longest time.
Why
at this party.
Do all the starlets line up to date this guy? What's he got
have
going?
Have you looked at him?
Yeah, he didn't seem, I hate to say this if any of the Valderrama clan is listening, he didn't seem that desirable to me, but women are just...
I think he's very smooth and
but
suave.
But if he wasn't the star of shows like Minority
you keep
Report...
saying that, but he is.
You know what? If you were standing next to him, close talking, with your fifth drink in your hand...
Then you could see it. Yeah?
No, but even before that. I mean, he's very charismatic, just like the character, apparently. And, you know, he's a good-looking guy, and he's really smart. He's very nice. I don't know how he is with everybody else.
He's a good-looking guy. Yeah.
He has... I don't have the list in front of me, but over the last 10 or 15 years, he's dated some of Hollywood's top actresses. They go nuts for this guy.
Jealous.
I'm surprised, because he was... in my head, he's Fez from that 70s show. Mm. That's all
true.
I think of.
If you can only think of Fez, then maybe.
Right. I can't go deeper
but
than
But he was
Fez.
Kind of endearing, wasn't he?
Was he? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess he was.
He is a good-looking guy. I don't know. You need glasses. Look at him.
All right. I guess.
He's just a guy.
That's what, he's see, just Kevin, that's a what
guy. You guys are jealous. We're not. Oh, my God.
Is this jealousy, Kevin? I
no.
don't think it is.
Handsome can recognize handsome. I'm not, you know.
Oh, listen
Bill
to
here.
Kevin over here.
Oh, my God.
He's right. Kevin's right.
I meant Bill.
Thank you. Handsome recognizes handsome. You know that.
I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says
I bet Wilmer Valderrama has never worn jorts.
You don't know that.
And that's his first mistake.
Maybe that's what the women find so irresistible about him. All right. Also, since we're talking about the hunks from the past, John Stamos has another job. He was in a show last year where he was a grandfather. That got canceled. But now what is he doing?
He is going to be on the new season of Scream Queens on Fox. That's the Ryan Murphy sort of spoof of those slasher type
horror
shows.
Movies.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I feel it's kind of a spoof of his other show, American Horror Story.
It is
a little bit, yeah.
It really is.
And they're doing the same. Yeah, there you go. They're doing the same sort of thing.
Let the record show, Wendy is finding pictures on the internet of Wilder Valderrama in almost no clothes whatsoever.
It's called a bathing suit.
All right, he's wearing a bathing suit.
He's in the water.
Where are his hands?
That's up to
that's
interpretation.
That's going to be my screensaver. Sorry, Duncan Keith.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, he's going to play a doctor on Scream Queens. This season of Scream Queens, all the sorority girls who were in the sorority house where all the slashings took place last mm-hmm. year, several of them have been put into a mental hospital.
Oh.
And I think he's one of the doctors who comes a-calling.
He seems to be a credible enough lead for a TV show.
Yeah,
he?
And
John
well,
Stamos,
I think,
he's
you
fine.
Know, I think a lot of people liked that show, but it just didn't get the eyes.
It only, that one lasted an episode and a half for me. Like,
oh, okay.
I wasn't thrilled with the first episode, and midway through okay. the second, I said, I don't know if I can do this yeah. one. So, yeah, it's sad. All right, Orange is the New Black, which is one of my favorite shows on television, is returning season 4.
I have never seen it.
You would love it. You
really?
Would absolutely love it. Yeah, it's so good. And you get caught up in that. I'd say by the first or second episode, you just want to see more and more and more.
Yeah,
I think that's
it's
such
one of
a
those
great
shows
show.
That it hooks you, even if it's not the kind of show or if it's not the subject matter you think you'd like. It really does hook you by the end of each episode to even watch the next episode.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not necessarily a cliffhanger each time, but it's just something. You know, it's one of those types of shows. Jinji Cohen writes it, and she did the same thing with Weeds. I always felt that
right.
way about Weeds. After the first season, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch anymore. And then every episode, by the end of the episode,
you like it more
I
and more.
Like I need to go. And
you know what they do that's great on Orange is the New Black? And I think they're the best show to do this since Lost. Even though you're seeing the show in present time, almost every episode has the backstory of one of the characters.
I like that.
And sometimes they're like really obscure backstories from characters that are just little bit parts, but you get to know what got them to where they are now.
I'm going to binge watch, and you'll
yeah,
be
and
jealous.
In case anyone doesn't know, Orange is the New Black is about a women's prison, like the characters in this women's prison. And
as much as you loved the women of Cell Block
H. My God, with Frankie Doyle, remember
yes.
her? She scared me.
With Frankie Doyle, the women of Cell Block H, this is... dare I say, better than the
There's
women
some scary gals in this.
I liked Oz a lot. I thought that was an awesome show.
This is a perfect companion piece to Oz.
This is, all right. Yeah, there's a little more fun stuff in here. That starts today, season 4, all of it on Netflix today.
Am I dreaming this, Kurt, or are they bringing back Sigmund and the Sea Monsters?
Yes. Well, they may bring it back. Amazon today has put all their new pilots, the way they do their what shows they're going to make.
Yes.
They do pilots. They post the pilots on their site so that you can go and watch the pilot episode mm-hmm. and then watchers vote. And just, you know,
and that's what will decide?
It
really?
Helps. I don't think it's like completely decides, but I think it helps to see who gets the most votes. And so they only have two like adult shows, if you want to call them that. And I don't mean porn, but I mean, you know, not children's shows.
Right.
Right now. And they have several kids shows. And one of the one that I mentioned was the Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, because I used to watch that.
Love
kids
it.
Show.
It, yeah. Love it.
That's not, it's for adults too. Look at Bill.
I want it. I would watch that every day.
Yeah.
I want that back.
And so it's just the first episode there so that you can get a taste of it and decide if you want to vote for it.
Well, and Johnny Whitaker, of course, is way too old to reprise his role.
Now, I don't know if he's
Scott Colden.
Yeah,
Mary Wicks.
Yeah.
Love that show.
The first episode, all I remember is I remember Sigmund because he was kind of funny.
Yeah. No, Sigmund, in this, the sea monster, this, yeah. And Johnny and Scott are friends, the craziest friends you ever will see on the land or on the sea.
Yeah, I don't think
love
that's,
it.
I don't think
love
that
it.
Just keep wearing the shorts.
Has come along. But they also had The Last Tycoon, which Matt Bomer is in, and it's based on the...
On the movie?
On the movie and the book, right? Wasn't
yeah.
it F. Scott?
Jacqueline
F.
Suzanne?
Scott. Was it?
Or no. is it F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Wasn't it F. Scott Fitzgerald?
It could be. Wendy, you're the arbitrator on this one. The Last Tycoon.
I
wanted
know.
To say Jacqueline Suzanne, but
anyway,
you could be right.
Matt Bomer, another handsome lad, is in this.
Yeah.
And Kelsey Grammer is in it, plays his, I think it's his stepfather or father who runs the movie studio. It's set in the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
30s, maybe 40s.
That's Scott Fitzgerald.
It yeah. won. Congratulations, Kurt.
Ding,
thank
ding.
Thank you.
She I was going to side
that
with
high
Bill.
School, that high school English class paid
that
off.
That paid off big to you.
So that is another one of their shows that the pilot's on now, and this other show called The Interestings with Lauren Ambrose. Speaking of
from 6 Feet Under,
from well, wasn't she also on
X-Files?
Oh yeah, the Fez show, wasn't she one of the
no?
people on
no. That's Laura Prepon.
Oh
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, oh yeah, yay, I finally got to know
you
something
right.
during your, the TV
you
segment.
Right. She's on Orange Is the New Black, right? Anyway,
so, her hair color.
So that's another one. Mm-hmm. That's their other.
The Last Tycoon is the other their
the
other
last
option.
Tycoon and The Interestings.
And then yeah. very, very quickly, we don't have time to go into this in great detail, but Donald Trump has been banned from Seth Meyers' show.
Yeah, well,
I love this.
He said that for a while. And as Seth Meyers said last night, I think it was last night, said a show that he has never, ever made shown any interest in coming on.
It's easier to ban somebody that
yeah.
way.
See, Seth did this funny little thing where... He was on speaking on behalf of NBC, offering Donald Trump the lead in a new show called Chicago President, so that you know, so that people could
that's
could
hysterical.
See what it would be like with Donald as the president without any real world consequences.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. That's perfect. Kurt, thank you.
Yeah.
If you want to read Kurt Wagner's work, easy to do. It's at TVShowPatrol.com. It's a great website if you love television. Thanks so much. Have a
oh,
great
and
weekend.
Wendy, Big Brother comes back next week.
I know. The big news, Jimmy Mack informed everybody, yes. And I said, what's going on? He goes, Big Brother starts next week. So we need to talk to Julie Chen.
All right.
I would like to book her as a guest.
Okay. Very good. Thanks,
all right,
Kurt.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great weekend. More after this, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Don't be afraid of technology, Bill.
It does scare me a little bit, I'll be honest.
Some of it does. Some of it makes life so much fun and a big time suck, if I can say.
Yeah, that's accurate.
You lose a lot of valuable, productive time by just goofing around in the technological world. On the line with us right now is Kevin Kelly, who co-founded Wired Magazine in 1993. Served as its executive editor until 1999, and has now written a book called The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I have been a subscriber to Wired Magazine for quite some time. I'm a bit of a gadget girl, and it's kind of like a cool, hip, trendy, like Rolling Stone of the technology world, isn't it?
Yes, it's not really about the technology, it's about the culture of technology.
Right.
Like Rolling Stones, about the culture of music.
Exactly. So tell us about The Inevitable, because I'm kind of, I'm computer literate. I'm not completely crazy about it, but I know how to do code. I know how to put websites together. Bill, on the other hand, have you figured out how to use your phone yet?
Not yet, no. I'm getting there. Be patient, Kevin. I'll get
is
there.
Is your VRC still blinking?
Yes,
VCR.
My VCR. Ah, we know more than Kevin. Yeah, it's a VCR, and it's always midnight at my house.
Or noon.
Or noon, I don't know.
Or noon, right. So I think, actually, one of the things that technology is good for is wasting time. I think wasting time is actually one of the chief benefits that it gives us, is that we are really good, humans are really good at wasting times. What robots are really good at are being efficient and productive, and anything that we can figure out that we want to measure in terms of productivity or efficiency, we're going to give to the bots, to the artificial intelligences.
This is a stupid question, but you know the little vacuum that goes around your room, Roomba? I mean, wasn't that kind of one of the first like robot type things that you could purchase? So it can vacuum, and now they have one that washes your floors? If they had one that makes dinner, I would purchase it in a minute.
Exactly. Or do your laundry.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're headed slowly. But I think a lot of the artificial intelligence that we're going to experience will be much more in a kind of digital remote side where we'll be speaking to them. They'll be doing work behind the scenes. I think doing work in their bodies is a real challenge because of the issue of batteries. Batteries haven't kept up with the exponential growth of all these other things. They're way behind. And just keeping them powered. The problem with the Internet of Things is all those batteries you have to replace. So I think that part is going to be a little slower, but the AIs that you talk to that drive your car, that work in the factories, that drive trucks, those are where they are going to make the most difference in our lives.
We were, Bill and I often talk about the Jetsons, and when you watched that when you were a little kid, you thought, oh my God, the future is going to be like that with the moving sidewalks.
Car and, in a suitcase. Oh, when you're done with your car, you just fold it up.
Genius. Yeah. And there are so many parking issues. That are we ever going to see something close to that?
Yes, I think we are. I think having an AI drive you around so that you can sleep or put your VR on in the car is going to be...
All right, wait. AI, artificial intelligence, VR, virtual reality. Some of us are not as hip to all this, so...
Right. So we're going to have the auto-driven car. There will be a robo car that has an AI in it that drives for you. And the question is, what do you do with all that time if you're not having to drive? Well, you're going to use it as an office, or you're going to put on the goggles and you'll have virtual reality where you're in another world, or you'll play, or it'll be virtual screens. And that's really where we're going. There'll be more bandwidth, more connection to your car than to your home. And so that's within 5 years. We know that because Tesla already has a version of it. Where you can turn off the switch while you're on a highway and sleep if you want.
Kevin, you're an expert at this. Is the pace by which we're advancing with technology about what it should be? Or are we moving faster than you thought we would, or not as fast?
Well, let's talk about virtual reality, which I had experience 25 years ago. The guy who invented it showed me and brought me in, and we shared a world together, and I was amazed, and I was convinced that it was going to happen in 5 years. It didn't happen in 5 years. It took 25 years, in part because it turned out that initial demos cost $1 million in today's money.
Yeah.
And so it was just too expensive. But then we invented smartphones, and all these little tiny tricky things were reduced to a little chip that ran on a very small battery, which is in your cell phone. And that same technology is now in VR, and now it's only a couple hundred dollars. And so that's been the change, is it's now cheap enough to improve fast. And so it's slow, but then it kind of slow, then it's an overnight success,
right,
after
sure.
20 years.
I'm not that old, all right? I'm over 50, all right, I'll give you that. But when I was in high school and you had like a computer, what was it, a data processing class, I think it was called.
Right.
And we had the punch cards that really all we did was punch various little designs so we could make a portrait with it of something. And then you look at the size of the computer that read these little punch cards, and it's just so amazing to me in those 30 years.
How far we've come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Everything is so tiny and so fast. My only fear with all of this, Kevin, is with artificial intelligence and virtual reality, is this going to completely eliminate personal relationships and intimate contact?
Well, that was, you know, the very same fear that we had at the beginning of the Internet, you know, say 25, 30 years ago. People imagined that with everybody kind of sitting in front of a green screen typing in their basement, that was the end of face-to-face relationships. But the curious thing happened, which was the amount of travel has actually increased as the Internet increased as well. So we discovered that very early on when we made the first public access to the internet in 1984. And the first thing that happened was all these people meeting online were compelled to meet face-to-face. It just made meeting face-to-face even more valuable to them. And I think that while we have virtual reality worlds where people spend a lot of time meeting each other in these avatars and sharing these kind of weird places, that will actually demand or increase or compel us to meet face-to-face or be in the physical world, because it becomes actually more amazing to us. After you've left this virtual world, we realize, oh my gosh, the real world is really cooler.
Isn't that crazy? That's so funny to me. Here's something my daughter said, Kevin. See if this makes sense to you. She said, you know how, of course, how texting is the rage. That's what everybody just wants to text. Nobody wants to talk to each other. So my daughter said, if it had been the other way around, if they had invented texting first, we'd all be amazed that you can pick up a phone and dial some numbers and actually talk to somebody. You don't have to press any buttons. Right, you can actually talk to them. And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I say the same thing about like a book. You know, if they had invented e-books first, you know, Kindle, and that's all we had, and then someone came up with this paper book, you'd say, that's amazing. No batteries.
Right. Self-contained.
Random access. It's self-contained. It's like, this is an incredible technology.
Right.
We've got Kevin Kelly
We're often blind.
Kevin Kelly on the line. The book is called The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. It is, I love texting, though. I mean, look what preceded it. It was emails. And to this day, I sometimes wait to respond to my emails, and then they get lost in my 63,000 emails that are on my iPhone right now. But with a text, you get an immediate answer. So I am a big fan of texting.
I think we have an insatiable appetite for the instant, and that's why we see these things like Uber spring up, because we take something like a taxi cab, we add, you know, instant on demand, and then we have Uber. And so that impulse to want to have access to things instantly is almost never ending. And we've just begun in kind of this on demand economy. I think we're going to really move from owning things to accessing things if we can get them on demand, which is what we want. So, you know, Amazon's, we're talking about a 2-hour delivery time with drones or whatever. So, we're going to see even more of that, where we want things instant, because that's how we live. We're instant beings.
Absolutely. Instant gratification.
That's all we care about. Kevin, do you think at some point, this is the stuff of science fiction, but do you think we'll have chips implanted in us, computers somehow implanted in our brains? Is that the reality of the future?
Well, you know, I'm really optimistic about the future, but I hope I'm dead before that happens.
Oh. Yeah.
Not me. I mean, I don't mind putting. I've tried the brain machine interface. It's kind of like a little bicycle helmet that you wear and control a computer that way. But I don't have any tattoos or piercings, and so it's like that's kind of the last thing I want to do. But I don't mind wearing something that would do that. I'm just biologically a little conservative that way.
That makes sense. It does seem a little much, doesn't it?
But it will, you know, it will happen. I'm sure there is a set of people who don't mind that, and they will be the first to do it. I do think that we are a long ways away from really understanding how the body works and being able to kind of hack the body.
Yeah,
that's maybe another 30 or 40 years away. So most of the stuff I'm talking about in the next 20 to 30 years is still in this area where we have wearables. And so we're wearing the things, and so I think having things close to the skin is as far as we got. You know, we made big computers. There were machines on the floor, and then they crawled onto our desks, and then they crawled into our lap, and now they're in a pocket. The next thing will be against our skin. I think it's a big step before we let them under our skin.
I'm looking at the comments on the back, and you have a lot of people that are in the tech world, and then you have musician and composer Brian Eno, who I'm a huge fan of, and you're friends with him? I mean, obviously, technology is going to help its way into the music business as well. We have to embrace technology and not be afraid of it.
Exactly, and Brian actually said something that, you know, he was very frustrated with all this. He kind of invented electronic music, but he was really frustrated by the interface to electronic music was like buttons and sliders, and he wanted to have something where he could use his whole body, kind of dance. And that's sort of where we're going with the interfaces in virtual reality, is that you can use your entire body, your gestures, your hands, your voice to interact with our technology. So I think if I was making a science fiction film about someone working on the computer in the next 30 years, I would be having them having sign language and talking. That's how we're going to interface with these things. It's not just the fingertips on a keyboard.
The whole world's turning into Tron right before our eyes. This is awesome.
So Adele will actually be Adele at some point. Is that possible? That's crazy. That's a crazy future, Kevin.
I think we have to believe in the impossible much more often. I mean, you think about the Wikipedia. That is impossible. There's no way that could work. There's no way some 12-year-old in Jakarta could alter the entry in George Washington and us find it useful, but it works. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's impossible, and there it is. So I think we have to get better at believing in the impossible.
Well, let's pretend it's 2046, because it will be someday, the inevitable, understanding the 12 technological forces that will shape our future. Kevin Kelly, thank you so much for talking to us.
It's really been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kevin. A quick break. More show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We have talked about Bill Leff's forbidden pants or shorts. I mean, I guess they're both.
I'm wearing them today.
Short pants.
They are my short pants.
Yesterday it came up on the show. There was a model looking guy walking in front of the Allstate Showcase studio. And I said, oh, my God, that guy's good looking. And you didn't even look at his looks. You just said, hey, he's wearing jean shorts.
I felt cheated because I've been told by you and by my family and by just random strangers that I'm not allowed to wear jean shorts. And I have one very special pair that I'm wearing currently. And most of the comments on Facebook are extremely negative. I don't want to name names, but somebody just put burn them, which seems a little radical. Yeah.
Oh, that's. Could you stand up real quick, Bill?
Yeah,
I
sure,
haven't
absolutely.
Gotten a glimpse.
Hold on, sure.
Yeah, there are people that wanted you to stand in front of the camera as
Let's
well.
See.
Oh wait, my head's in your way.
They were okay till I saw the bottoms.
Yeah, it looks like they literally were dipped in bleach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if it was like tie-dyed or something
they're
more.
They're dipped in love, Wendy, is what they're dipped in.
You keep telling yourself that. All right, we'll go to our Facebook page because it's up there. And
but there
everybody
are
gets a fashion don't once in a while.
Well, you know.
Tell Kim how old these shorts are.
I've had these about 15 years. I haven't worn
them. Oh, really?
Them.
I would think that you'd had them longer than that.
Wow. Wow.
We're just trying to help.
No, I know. And I don't wear them often. And it's been explained to me that I won't wear them again by people very close to me. Again, I told the story earlier when my daughter Kylie saw these this morning, she just shook her head and went, don't. And that was it. No more words from her. One word and out.
But see, honestly, we are trying to help you.
Right. Oh, I get that.
You're usually fine. You're usually dressed really nice.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate that.
Tell Kim you have a spare pair of shorts in your car.
I do have another pair of shorts.
So then why did you even put those on to begin with?
He said he would,
yesterday,
we wanted to judge him.
Yesterday,
oh, okay.
I said that I would, you know, just for argument's sake. And I was going to actually also wear, I've talked about these shoes that I bought when I was in either a senior in college or my first year out of school. There was a video for Katrina and the Waves walking on sunshine, and one of the guys in the band had these kind of turquoise colored Converse, and I went, I got to get those, and I've never worn them once. I was going to wear those today, but I don't have laces.
Those are actually cool.
I think they've become cool again. I think they
Converse
were cool,
are cool,
stopped, and then
became again. Yeah, but they're turquoise.
Again.
And it's weird. You know, most people might go for like a scarf that Jimi Hendrix wore or something cool, but
right.
You pick out a Katrina and the Waves
guy. Yeah, the bass player for Katrina and the Waves.
Good God, y'all.
But turquoise is one of those kind of neutral colors that really goes with
like,
everything.
When you say turquoise, do you mean like a light almost an
vibrant
green.
It's like Miami Dolphins blue-green.
You know what you could use those shoes for?
For what?
Walking on sunshine.
I could walk on sunshine. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Time to feel good, Wendy.
Don't it feel good?
Don't it feel good?
All right, quick break. We'll talk to Steve. We'll continue talking to Steve Bertrand, see what's coming up on the Wind Trust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Kim, if you would, keep us up to date on what's going on at the Willy Wonka Candy Factory.
I definitely will. Hopefully Augustus Gloop won't get stuck in a
in the tube?
In the tube.
Somebody wants to know if the Oompa Loompas will be okay.
Oh, you hope. All you can do is hope.
Can I tell you, I didn't know there was a Willy Wonka chocolate factory in Itasca.
Oh, yeah. They've been there for a while.
That's who makes
all the delicious Willy Wonka candy.
Is that like Nerds and...
Yeah, they do Nerds.
What's the other one that the kids love?
Well, they used to do a lot of the same...
Lemonheads and all that is like Ferrara Pan. That's the other one, yeah.
Yeah. They used to do all the same candy that was in the movie. They actually had Scrumdiddlyumptious bars. They don't anymore. They had Everlasting Gobstoppers.
Yeah, I remember the
Gobstoppers. They still have the Gobstoppers.
But they're not like they were in the movie. Like
they don't last as long.
It's false advertising.
Everlasting.
But they're more like almost like Jawbreakers in real life. But in the movie, they were very different. They were shaped. They had like a geometric shape to them.
Oh, not round and smooth?
No.
But they do have the various colors as you bite through the layers. So it's different from a
snozberries, though.
The snozberries taste like snozberries.
Who wants to eat snoz?
That's a good question. I don't know. I do not have the answer to that. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Two more hours of fun. You can call in anytime, 312-981-7200. We'd be tickled to hear from you. You know what I saw? I thought this was really funny. On Huffington Post, they asked their readers, the people who go to Huffington Post, this question. And the question is important because I'm going to read you the answer, which I love. What is the best advice your dad has ever given you?
I like that.
Isn't that a great question?
For Father's
Day.
This is
a natural question. Well, the answers ran the gamut, as you would imagine. They were all over the board. But I want to read you the one that meant the most to me. Again, the question, what is the best advice your dad ever gave you? This is what a man named Nate Olshan said. These are his words. This is advice from his dad that he holds, you know, to his heart because his dad told him, so he believes this. If you should ever come across a corpse, no matter how well-dressed he may be, resist the temptation to go through his pockets or you will get involved. What does his dad do that he's just...
He's an undertaker.
Coming across corpses from time to time and has to keep those words. Well, here's a corpse, and he's fairly well-dressed. I want to go through his pockets, but who knows what harm may befall me if I do.
Well, I mean, that is the general feeling if you...
But how often have you just...
Never.
Chanced upon a
corpse? Never. That and I hope it remains that way.
It doesn't happen very regularly. Well, here's a corpse that's fairly well-dressed. I'm sure this will be fine.
Well, it's robbing a corpse. It's been in every movie.
I guess. But that's one of those things that happens in movies. You don't just, in your normal everyday activity, you don't just go, oh, no, not another corpse. What's going on?
A corpse is a corpse of corpse of corpse.
Right. That's so true.
Do you have any words of wisdom your dad gave you?
I don't know the best advice my dad ever gave me, but I can tell you the worst advice, hands down, that my dad ever gave me.
All right.
And I guess it needs a little bit of background story. I was at a wedding once, and it was my whole family at this wedding. It was a friend of a family who got married. And at this wedding, there was a girl at the wedding that was extremely interested in me. And I wasn't dating.
How old were you?
I was a senior, either a junior or a senior in high school. So
dateable age.
Yeah, I was already dating people, but... Not at the time of that wedding.
You were single.
I went by myself. Well, I went with my family, right? So there was a girl there that was extremely interested in me.
How could you tell? I want to hear how a Bill Leff realizes somebody's interested in them.
Because she said, I'm extremely interested in you.
She said that.
And even then, I'm like, this could be a trick. I'm on to you.
You're so innocent.
And where did this corpse come from, this well-dressed corpse?
It's the groom.
I want
it was a quick wedding.
I know. So she got my phone number through the people who were getting married. She went to them and said, hey, there was a guest at the wedding I would like to pursue. Can I have a...
Pursue?
Yeah. I want to pursue a dating experience with him. So she called me up, and I you know, I wasn't interested. And then my...
Can I ask why? You said she was a nice-looking girl.
She was not for me. There were just, you know how you have a type? She was not my type. She just was. I mean, she was nice and she was fine looking, but I knew it wasn't gonna work.
How
it just
do you
wasn't.
Know that?
You can't tell immediately. I can tell immediately. I knew I was going to marry Terry when she walked through the door of a room. I saw her walk through a door and I went, that's the girl I'm going to marry. I've always known in seconds if it was the right girl for me or not. And I don't mean to marry this girl. I just mean
to even date her, to go out. She was pursuing you.
She was actively pursuing me. I mean, not just at the wedding.
Did she grab your butt? Did she ask you to dance?
I don't remember.
Did you dance with her at the wedding?
No.
Somehow I'm more interested in this with the bad advice your dad gave you.
Well, it all ties in. I'm telling you this to make the advice. My point here is to show you just how bad my dad's advice was.
All right.
All right. So at the wedding, she was very interested and wouldn't just like whatever was happening. She found a way to be next to me and to talk to me. And I'm fine with that. But I didn't want to go out with her. I was very pleasant to her at the wedding and I talked to her and stuff. But this wasn't going to be an ongoing relationship. So then she called me at home. And I said no, and I have to admit I lied to her and told her that the reason was that I was dating somebody, but I was not dating anybody exclusively.
Could she be listening?
She could be, yeah. I didn't tell her at the time. Many years from now, I will have a radio show, and I'd prefer that you not listen. I didn't do that.
I just feel bad that you're admitting to lying to her. But you let her down easy. You were polite.
But isn't that a viable excuse? I didn't want to just go, well, you and I, we have no future. I just said, you know, normally I'd say yes, but, you know, I'm dating somebody. You know, so you've never done that? Sometimes.
I would take all comers.
All right. That's interesting.
No, I'm teasing. And there is a nice way to do it, and that's
right.
A nice way to do it.
I thought it was.
It is.
It seemed, okay, and then she called back about a week later to see if I was still in that relationship.
Okay,
so at
that's
that
got
point,
stalker written all
I mean?
Over it. Okay.
Now you're on my side? All right, so here's what my dad said. I didn't know at the time, but her father was a captain of industry. He was like a pretty highfalutin CEO-type guy of a multimillion. And I didn't know that. It didn't matter to
Would
me.
Would that have changed your mind a little bit?
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Not even a little. I'll
prove
it to you.
Money trains are coming and it's pursuing me.
I'll prove it to you. This was my dad's advice. He looked at me disappointed. And you know my dad. You know he has mastered, of all the dads on the planet, my dad has pulled off this look that without any words, you can look at him and you know, oh, he's disappointed. So he said, what's going on with, and then this girl's name. And I said, Dad, I'm not interested like that. Gave me the look, and then he said these words, worst advice I ever got from my dad ever. You know, it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich girl as it is a poor one. Which is true.
I think that's good advice.
No. No, it's terrible.
He was telling you that for the future. He didn't.
I have since then gone out of my way to avoid relationships with really rich or really poor women.
You go the middle ground.
Right. I know they say that there's a vanishing middle class. But I spent my dating career finding the girls that would fit that description. Not too rich, not too poor, just right, as Goldilocks would say. But isn't that terrible advice?
No.
Because that was his way of saying, this girl's rich. You could easily, no matter who that girl is, how about this one? She's got a lot of money.
I think he was telling you go for the love because it's just as easy to marry a rich girl as it is a poor one. So follow your heart, son.
He was disappointed that the fact that her family was on Easy Street was very disappointing to him that I wouldn't even give this girl a chance because I'd be marrying into not just money, but money.
How about the advice was good, but the motive was bad?
That's acceptable.
Okay.
That's acceptable. But isn't that, I would still chalk that up as really awful advice.
You could have given her one date.
I didn't want to lead her on. You know how
what
girls are.
What was wrong with her? There's
she
something.
There was nothing
was
wrong
with
her.
Was she overweight?
No. No.
Did she have a third eye?
She was not overweight. All right, let's take a quick break. What's the best or worst advice your dad ever gave you? Something
either
you
way?
Remember. Either way. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
I'm sad about Prince.
No, I know. It'll be okay. What is, Father's Day is Sunday. This Sunday is Father's Day, I repeat. Get your dad something. What is the best or worst advice that your dad ever gave you? Can you think of anything with your dad? I know he died.
I was 10.
When you were very young.
And honestly, I have to tell you the truth. The last thing one of the few things I remember from my dad was when he was going away to get surgery in another state, he said, listen, I don't want you and your brother fighting.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't drag my sister into this, but he said, don't, you and your brother please no fighting while I'm gone. Be good for mom, and when I get home, we're going to have the biggest wrestling match ever.
Oh, wow.
So that's the last thing I remember.
Save your fighting until it counts, and we have a wrestling match.
Yeah, but he never came home.
Oh.
So that's really, honestly, the last thing I remember him saying.
Wow.
It was probably
you should
the last
have a wrestling every year on his birthday, you should have a big wrestling match at your house with only all your relatives in his honor.
That's not a bad idea.
That'd be a great, a nice tribute to him.
Ken, you got some good advice from your dad?
Yes.
What was it?
Would you like to share it?
Yes. About 60 years ago when I bought my first car, my dad told me, take care of your car, anything that needs fixing, and your car will take care of you.
Oh.
That is very solid advice. He was right.
I've done that all my life.
And how's the car running right now?
Good.
You could
anything
really...
Anything that gets broken, it gets fixed.
That's good advice.
Yep.
You could
take
use
care
that.
Of your car, Wendy, and your car will take care of you.
You could substitute wife.
Take care of your wife, and your car will take care of you.
No, and your wife will take care of
that's
you.
That's better.
Ken, thank you. That's some great advice. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day, sir.
You too.
Thanks. Why am I saying
that's
thanks?
Strong advice.
Hi, Dave.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Some good Father's Day advice?
My dad said the two pieces of advice my father gave me that in the sum total of his life before he passed, the first was take typing in the days before computer keyboarding was ubiquitous. I paid all of my college pin money expenses came out of typing other people's papers.
Wow, that's brilliant. Good.
That is good advice.
And the other thing was always pay for good shoes.
You know what? There's something to be said for that. I'm sorry.
Spend the extra money.
He was a house painter, and he was always on his feet, so he constantly had that kind of an issue.
Look down right now, Dave. Are you wearing good shoes?
I'm wearing Docksiders as I drive.
I think he'd be proud. I really do. Happy Father's Day, Dave.
Hey, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Parents say the darndest things, don't they?
Yes, they do. Wendy Linkletter.
Hi, Glenn.
Hello. Yes, one of the best things my father ever told me was when I was about 15, he said, son, your word needs to be worth more than any contract.
Wow, that is solid.
Which meant to me, you know, integrity is very important.
Yep.
And that has served me well.
Yep. In business, you find that to be pretty true, yes. I bet. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Very solid advice. Thank you so much. Have a great Father's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Boy, everybody's playing along so well today.
I know.
They're
what's
getting
up?
To the point, and everybody's cordial to one another.
Yeah.
Alan, are you going to wreck it?
No, I will not wreck it, I promise.
What's the advice your dad gave you?
So my advice came in the form of a story, and the story is there was a cat, and the cat was crossing the railroad tracks. And as it was crossing, almost all the way across, a train came along and cut off a little piece of the cat's tail. And the cat was startled and turned around to see what happened. And another wheel came across and cut off the cat's head. And the moral of the story is never lose your head over a little piece of tail.
Did he honestly say that to you, or are you just saying this to be funny?
No, I swear to God, my dad recently passed, something he told me 35 years ago.
That is so, what a great sense of humor he had.
That's a proverb. That's what that is. Beautiful. Well, thanks so much, Alan. Have a happy Father's Day.
That's awesome. I love stories like that.
Uh-huh.
Greg has something he'd like to share. Is this from your father?
It certainly is. I'm 63 years old, and when I was in high school, about 10th grade, I loaned a dime to a kid. And about a week later, I asked for that dime back, and the kid just looked at me and goes, I never borrowed a dime from you. And, you know, I'm going, whatever. So then I said something to my dad about it. He said, son, if you learn the value of a man for a dime, you've learned an inexpensive lesson.
Wow.
That kid has gone on to, he's a successful businessman in the neighboring, over in Battle Creek. And whatever, I'm not sure exactly how, but I wouldn't give you my business.
That's fantastic.
At this point in time, from the 10th grade to 63, if I needed what he sold and it was the only thing there, I would go without.
I love hearing that.
That's
what a valuable lesson. Wonderful. Thanks so much, Greg.
All right, guys. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Happy Father's Day.
I forgot to tell him that.
I was building toward it.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. By the way, I love you guys. Love you.
You're so nice, Patty. Aww. Thank you. Right back at you.
Yes. Now, when I was moving out of the house to get my very first apartment, my dad really disagreed with me. He didn't want me to move. But as I was taking the last box out, he handed me a rubber chicken, and he said, just remember to laugh every day.
Boy, is that true, isn't it? He was right. He was so right. Did you realize?
He's 91 now, and he's still laughing.
Excellent. Did you realize at the time how powerful those words were?
I thought he was insane.
Sure.
I thought I'd finally knocked him over, you know?
Wow. Well, that's great. Tell him Happy Father's Day from us.
I sure will, and thank you so much for all you do.
Thanks, Patty. Take care. Appreciate it.
Okay.
That's really sweet.
Laugh every day.
You need to do that. That is really important. 630 says, my dad's advice to me was, if you're going to make out with the boy, do it in our driveway.
I'm not sure why, but I kind of get it.
Well, because you're safe. With a shotgun from the window.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe. Yeah.
Right. I grew up in Kentucky. That's what it would be.
But at least you know you're safe at that point. You know, he knows you're home.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
God. 815 says, my dad said, marry an ugly girl because if she leaves you, who cares?
What? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life.
Never make a pretty woman your wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
What a beautiful tune.
Oh, lovely.
And then this, I don't know, this might be from your dad.
What does he say?
It says you can marry more money in a half an hour than you can make in a lifetime.
See, that's similar. Isn't that similar? All right, we need to take a quick break. Stick around, a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I have to be honest with you, I'm not really sure how TV works. I barely know how radio works.
Yeah.
But there was something on the Today Show, The World's Funniest Dad, correct?
Right. Yeah, just the other day.
Okay, and so a former WGN employee,
Eric. Go on, you say it.
No, you say it.
I can say the Eric part, the rest is very hard to say.
All right, you say his first name.
His name is just Eric. He does not have a last name.
Nevarowski.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nailed it, Wendy.
You know how long I've known you, and just at this minute when I said, how do you say your last name?
It's fine. It's okay.
All right, but that's a funny name. You should have just won from the name.
Just keep saying your name. That should have been your whole thing.
Nevarowski.
All right, this is what I don't get about TV. We wanted Eric to come on before the World's Funniest Dad thing.
America's Funniest Dad. Yeah, you can't compete with the Danes.
No, they win every year.
Yeah, they're huge.
They always win. Yeah. Funniest Dad.
All right, we thought it would be fun. Hey, let's get Eric Nevarowski on before it airs on the Today Show, America's Funniest Dad. But they didn't want us to do that.
Yeah, they asked me just to keep it kind of low-key in case it might get canceled, and it almost did actually get canceled because of all that terrible stuff in Orlando.
Oh.
So, but I'm glad you could squeeze me in today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Is he going to do his material?
Do you want me to do a bit?
You want to do one or two of the jokes that you did as part of the contest for America's Funniest Dad?
In case we didn't see it because we couldn't, you know, tell people what it was on.
Okay. Let's see. So my wife decided to tell me that we're having a baby in the disguise of an early Christmas present.
Yeah.
Right? So I came home from work one day. I was actually working here, and I had a terrible day at the office. It was probably something one of you guys did.
Probably.
To upset me for the day. And I got home, and my wife was like, hey, I got you an early Christmas present. It was like mid-December.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, thank God. I've had such a terrible day at work. What is it? What's the early Christmas present? Tell me. What is it? And she goes, we're having a baby. And I was like, whoa, a baby. Great. And it's not that we didn't, like, I wanted to have a baby, but at the time I really wanted that new PlayStation 4. It had just come out.
All right, like that.
That's funny and insensitive all at the same time, Eric. That's
like,
great.
Can you watch Netflix through a baby? Are we there yet? Not quite there yet, I guess. And then, like, it's just weird how, like, you know, Bill, you're a dad.
Sure.
So it's like your whole life changes in those, like, 3 seconds that it takes to say those words. And then I got really nervous about becoming a dad for a lot of reasons. The main one, I have a very timid tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And You guys know childbirth is a miracle, but it's an icky miracle.
It is pretty
and
icky.
And I didn't want to hurl in the middle of the delivery room. That would have been very uncouth and put the attention on me. At
sure.
that point, when that's going on, attention should be put on my wife.
Right.
We can all agree.
Right.
And so I was really nervous about that because I'm telling you guys, it's like I can get sick very easily. Like last week, I was walking down the sidewalk and I thought I saw a dead mouse on the sidewalk. And I started going, like, getting really nervous. Like, I could feel it coming up. Turns out it was just a bunch of dead leaves.
Oh.
But damage had been done.
Sure.
So I was telling my friend about this, and he was like, oh, you're not even going to worry about that, man. Don't worry. Watching my daughter being born, it was like the best drug ever, the best high I ever had. So I remember watching my daughter being born, and I just kept thinking to myself how much I prefer real drugs.
All right. So now here's what Eric isn't saying, and this is kind of sad. Originally, they said to you guys, you each get 2 minutes.
Right.
Right? But then they changed it, and they said, in the interest of time, we have to change it to 1 minute.
Right.
But then it became less time. 45 seconds?
45 seconds to tell
That's
jokes.
One joke.
If that. Because
well, I got
by the
two pretty good ones in there.
You got a couple of good ones.
I didn't time you. Yeah. So did you go over the limit?
Well, I was riffing there.
Right. Oh, I got
we
you.
We do a little riffing
it's
in
different.
The biz.
It's a little different.
You can riff on radio.
But it's so hard to get out any kind of a train of thought in just 45 seconds and establish yourself as the world's, or the, I'm sorry.
America's
funniest dad.
Look out for the Danes.
The
right.
Danes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's right. And then it just like, I have never been on national TV before. Or even like.
Did you hurl?
I thought about it. It was really close, and it was I was.
Well, you're looking
nervous.
At Carson Daly,
and Matt Lauer, and Jim Gaffigan, and then this Savannah Guthrie was walking around. It was just like all this stuff, and then like David Duchovny was inside.
Oh my god,
like Duchovny and Howard Jones was a musical guest, and it was just like such a blur that like it was like you know that hurry up and wait, you know, where you like waited for 2 hours,
right.
And then all of a sudden, in the span of like 15 minutes, like all of this. Stuff happened.
Sure.
And I just got super, super. I thought I handled it pretty well, but, you know, like when I was watching myself this morning, I was like, do I really do this with my hands so much?
Well,
is this really what my voice sounds like?
You're just figuring that out now. I know the first time you hear yourself, you're like, I don't sound like that because you hear yourself in your head voice a little
right.
differently. But it is national TV. I mean,
that's a great credit. That's a network credit like that is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Everybody, I know in the past, you and Savannah Guthrie have had one of those show business feuds. Did you guys put that aside for this?
Yeah, we got along.
You did.
We hugged it out.
That's
it
better.
Cool.
How did they first come upon you? You know, there's dozens, if not hundreds of dads across the country that could be the funniest.
You're right. One of them, Bill.
Why did they? Well, oh, that's nice of you.
But I agree.
Why did they? Thank you. But why? How did you get to be in the top three, the final three?
The internet.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
was it
I just, I got, my wife actually sent me a text message and was like, hey, the Today Show's doing this contest. So I turned on my webcam upstairs in my office and I told a couple jokes in there and thinking like, oh, they're never going to call me. You know, like, I had totally forgotten about it. And then the next day, they called me.
How
and
cool is
it,
that?
And we had just like, we're talking on the phone and then I had to do like a criminal background check to make sure like I'm
and
a real
you passed
person.
That?
Barely.
Wow.
But enough. Yeah, I got like a D plus on it.
Still passing.
Right.
You still pass.
C's get degrees. Thanks, college. And yeah, so we were planning it out for a couple weeks and, you know, all that terrible stuff in Orlando happened. And,
yeah.
And so our thing almost didn't happen. But at the last minute, they decided to keep with it. And they flew me and my wife and my daughter out to New York.
How
and
cool is that?
Stayed in a hotel.
Really? Not a motel or a motor lodge?
No, a real hotel.
With an ice machine?
I don't know.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm sure they had
I don't know.
Probably had a nice machine.
But like when we got to the airport, like guys, I don't want to brag. They flew us into Newark.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, Newark.
Oh, that's nice.
Direct flight. And they had the guy there with the thing with my name
on
it.
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yeah, it was cool. But, you know, Nevorowski's a bit of a last name, so you could tell he wasn't really like sight reading it when he wrote it. So like the first, like, six letters were nice and big, and then the, like, following
tailed
14
off.
Just kind of tailed off,
yeah.
And I was like, that's got to be me.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right, so how'd you do? Can we give the results?
I didn't win.
Aww.
That's okay.
It's a travesty.
Thanks,
Savannah Guthrie.
A recount. No, it was me and a gentleman named David from somewhere in Minneapolis and another guy named Mike from Philadelphia. And we're all kind of different backgrounds. What, like, for example, David, who won, I believe he's, like, 75 and a retired high school principal, and he's got grandkids and stuff. So he won. The only prize was a trophy, and we only brought the one carry-on. It wouldn't have fit in anyway. So that's how I'm coping with myself. Like, that's how I'm coping with defeat. Like,
I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Was he funny? Be honest.
Yeah, everyone's. Yeah, it was great. It was cool to see all these different perspectives on fatherhood, right? So, like, I only have 1 2-year-old daughter, so I still kind of remember what life was like before that.
Yeah.
One of the guys has 3 kids, and David, who won, had 2 kids, but he's also got a whole army of grandkids now as well. So it's
a whole
just,
different life.
Yeah, it's just cool. It was really fun to see, like, the different. You know, perspectives on fatherhood through our ages.
But there's a major component that you're leaving out. I don't know if you're doing this on purpose or not, but there's a major thing you're leaving out. Can we do this? We'll take a quick break, and then I'll tell you something that I hope that you realize. I know during the moment it might have been lost on you. We'll come back with Eric Niewierowski, one of the funniest dads in America. Not as funny as the Danes.
The Danes
still,
are hilarious.
They're always very funny. Yeah. And Claire Danes is very funny. I don't know if you've seen her do stand-up. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Governor Bruce Rauner is going to join us. Here.
It's us. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Eric Niewierowski is a former co-worker of ours here at WGN. He was just on the Today Show on Wednesday.
On Thursday.
I got a one-day advance on it. They sent it to me the day early.
Gotcha.
Remember the show Early Edition with the newspaper? They got a day early. I do that with the Today Show.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Eric was up for the Funniest Dad in America contest. It was down to 3 finalists. He did not win. That was very sad. But here's what I hope you realize in the heat of the moment that this went on. The main judge was Jim Gaffigan.
Right.
Who's one of the funniest stand-ups anywhere.
God, I love him.
He was so nice. Like, I could not, you know, like, you guys, you know, hobnob with celebrities a lot,
constantly.
Right?
Constantly.
Constantly. I mean, you guys are celebrities.
I should have stopped talking. No.
But, like, he was very, very nice. Like, he took vested interest in all of us, and he talked to all of us, and it was...
Gave you some advice.
He was absolutely fantastic.
And you always have that fear when you meet someone that you think is great, or you idolize even, and they're jerks to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so it's
right.
So refreshing to see that he was nice.
So for me, that was Matt Lauer. Like, I grew up loving Matt Lauer, and I wanted to become a journalist and a broadcaster because of Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
And he was so nice to me, and he smelled fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people.
What did
he
smell like? Well, if you had to describe him in one word for Matt Lauer, what would he smell like
in one word?
Yeah,
can I do a couple?
Hyphenated, sure.
Okay, hyphenated. It was like a very expensive cologne, but like even more expensive. Like,
oh,
I've never
yeah.
smelled anything like that.
I could see that.
I've never smelled anything like that.
He
you
smelled
should
have that
asked
good.
Him.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, what are you wearing?
Again, it was like in the heat of the moment,
he
sort of.
He probably has his cologne specially made, don't
it's
you
Matt
think?
It's Matt Lauer cologne.
So.
Lauer cologne. Yeah. I bet he does.
A little Lauer, it's called.
Right. Right. When it came down to it came time to decide the winner between yourself and the other two potential funniest dads, Jim Gaffigan honestly couldn't make up his mind, and you saw the wheel spinning.
You saw it.
He could have given it to you or either the other two. He just said a name
right.
at random.
Right.
It wasn't like one guy was way better than the others. It was that close. You
yeah.
know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like I totally won, right? I got 2 days off of work. I didn't have to call in sick, right? They just gave me an extra 2 days off of work. I got a free trip to New York.
Right.
Stayed at a hotel.
Yeah.
In New York.
With an ice machine, we think.
With it somewhere on ice machine somewhere there.
Yeah.
And I
nothing
got
to lose.
Yeah, and I got to go with my family and have a great time. And guys, I have the coolest cover photo for my Facebook profile now.
What is it?
It's me like a side angle.
Yeah.
Right? And it's Jim Gaffigan and Carson and Matt Lauer looking at me and they're laughing.
Oh, isn't that
yeah.
nice?
And that was fun. And Matt Lauer said I had great poise.
Well, that's
what did Carson Daly say to you?
I don't know. I don't remember.
He smell? Did he smell? He didn't smell as good as Matt Lauer.
He smelled like just regular cologne.
He did?
Yeah.
Standard?
Yeah. But he was also very cool.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
He was. You know, the other thing, and the prize wasn't like if they were giving away to the winner $50,000 or something, then you go, wow, it came down to 3 guys and I missed out on $50,000. But as we just pointed out, it was just going to be a trophy or something. That's it.
Right. Yeah. It was a very nice trophy, and we only brought the one carry-on, so it wouldn't have even fit in the
right.
bag. Yeah. If it was like a trip or something, I probably would have been like, oh, come on, that was rigged. But
right.
honestly, just to get to go and like come on the radio with you guys and all of like the great like Facebook posts and emails and messages I got over the last 2 days has just been absolutely...
It's a feel-good, and you got a little vacation with your family.
Yeah, I feel like $1 million.
Here's something else. I hope you've thought about this. For family members who wonder if this is a good career move, if stand-up comedy is a good career move, all of a sudden, you, the guy that they've known forever, is on the Today Show. That makes you legit, right? In their eyes, they're proud of you for that.
Yeah, that and like people I went to high school with, like people have been asking me like, well, have you gotten any calls for shows or anything like that? And the only calls I've gotten so far are from ex-girlfriends.
Oh. Or reconsidering?
They were just like, oh, I shouldn't have dumped you in that Applebee's.
Right.
15 years ago.
That's
like,
their loss.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, you do stand up. Do you have any gigs coming up?
No.
Oh, this is good timing. Oh. But, yeah.
No, I don't. Well, but if you're a booker out there, why don't you give me a call? I'll be around because I'd rather get calls from bookers instead of
ex-girlfriends.
Cantankerous ex-girlfriends.
But you were working very steadily, and then you and your wife had the baby,
right.
And then you decided, I can't just be out in clubs all the time. I have to help out with the baby, which was very noble.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to, like, how could I work, you know, a day job 8 hours a day, go home, put the baby to bed, and then, you know, tell my wife, okay, I'm going to go do open mics all night.
Right.
You know, so it's just, I'm confident and happy with every single decision I've made in the last 3 years.
I bet having the baby has changed the direction of your stand-up a lot too, because once you have a baby, you're a different person.
It's all dad jokes now.
Sure.
But like good dad jokes, not like dad jokes that my dad does, but like good dad jokes.
Right. You know? Ouch, zing.
Like he doesn't listen to this. He's not listening. He's fine. He's golfing somewhere. But like, you know, I'm 34 years old now, right? And that's kind of a weird age for me to be a dad. Because I don't think I'm old enough to think it's a good idea to wear my iPhone on my hip, but I'm also not young enough to know what a Snapchat is.
are in that another world.
Yeah. So I just Pinterest now. Pinterest
I love
is the Snapchat for dads. I don't know. I have a great board about lawn care. I'm a renter. I don't even have a yard.
Oh, look at you.
Great board about beard care. I can't even grow one. But that's where I'm at. That's how I'm staying current is with Pinterest.
All right. And if somebody wants to book you, because you're very funny and you're a nice guy and you are one of America's funniest dads, we can truthfully say that.
Right.
How do people reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Edmunds, E-R-I-K-E-D-M-U-N-D-S. And I'm even verified on Twitter now.
Are you verified on Twitter?
Yeah, got that little blue check mark.
I do not have that.
I don't know what that means to be verified. You can pick
either.
Up fares at the airport like Uber.
It means they know it's the real you.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is Edmund your middle name?
It is.
That's an old radio trick, too, where people would do...
St. Edmund. It'd be Eric St. Edmund. If you ever did radio professionally, you have to have the word saint in your name somewhere.
Wait, so... People
would take their name, like Dick Biondi, obviously, that's his real name,
right.
But... there'd be like Dick St. James. Maybe his middle name was James.
Right.
Back in the old day, you didn't want any kind of ethnic type of name.
Right.
So you would take your middle name and usually put a saint in front of it.
Yeah.
So your middle name is Snyder?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, that's just my...
that wouldn't make
women
sense.
Didn't do it. I wouldn't have been a good Wendy Susan.
No, it was all
Wendy
guys,
Susan
right?
with you. It was all guys because there weren't that many women in radio.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, we aren't saints.
No, not by a long shot. Well, Eric, we're proud of you.
Thank you,
what
Bill
you
and
did
Wendy.
Was a very nice thing. We were hoping you would win, but you did win.
Thank
kind
you.
Kind of, sort of.
I did
you
win.
Did win.
You did win.
It's nice to see you guys again.
It's nice to see you
Thanks
again. We miss
here.
You. Eric Niewierowski is not performing at any club. Don't go see him because he's not there. But be patient. He will be there when you see his name on a marquee. The marquee will be sagging because it's a lot of letters.
Yeah.
But
Eric
go
Edmunds,
they
right?
don't have enough letters in the thing to
in the
put
kit.
My name up. It's fine.
That's why you're not getting any bookings.
Right. Shorten your name. You'll work more.
Eric St. Edmund. That might work.
That's better. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
We'll take a quick break. Then
Happy
Father's
Day.
Oh, thank
Happy
you.
Father's Day. Yeah. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we all grew up with the music of Styx. I'm telling you, Bill, I knew every word to every song on The Grand Illusion,
really?
This record from 1977.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so that my friend Sue and I would air guitar and lip sync to every one of those songs in her basement.
Sure.
1977. And who knew almost 40 years later we'd be talking to the guy who actually did those guitar riffs for real, James Young, JY. How are you?
Wendy, I'm great.
Do you want residuals for Wendy's work?
I owe you.
You have a check coming.
I'm telling you, I air guitared to every... I'm a big Styx fan, and if you grew up in Chicago, how could you not love Styx? We all grew up listening to this music.
That album sold 6 million copies overall, but 1 million of those copies were 8-track.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Can I tell you, that is something, as a medium, I never, ever had. I had the cassettes, obviously the albums, but never an 8-track, and I still to this day don't understand why anybody went that route, because in the middle of a great song, you'd hear a weird noise.
Click, click.
And then it would right. go, a little dead air, yeah. and then it would kick into the song. Why 8-tracks?
Well, in an automobile, you couldn't play LPs, and that was the first way to get music, recorded music into your car as you drove around, and then cassette kind of replaced that. Probably in 78, 79.
That's right. I'm thinking back to my old boyfriend's Gran Torino, and there was an 8-track player in it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
That's living high.
So Styx is touring. You're on, like, the Midwest leg of the tour. Where you're in Champaign tonight.
And tonight, Cheap Trick is on the bill with us, and we're going to have a good old rousing thing down here in Champaign tonight. And we're coming to the Joliet Memorial Stadium for a big festival there in Joliet on Friday, June 24th.
And so you have played with Cheap Trick before. There was a great article I found where Ted Nugent played a show with you guys as well, and someone questioned you on Ted Nugent's political views, and what did you say? Something like, I don't really care what he thinks about that. I just want to play music with him. You got to put things aside sometimes, don't you?
Well, Ted is Ted, and, you know, I think Trump is sort of actually channeling Ted in some ways, shape, or form. Because the mouth can get slightly ahead of the brain on occasion, but they're both natural born performers. There's no, and Ted's a phenomenal guitarist.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he's a great guitar player. And one on one as a musician, he's that all that whole thing goes away, and we just talk about. He started out in Detroit and jammed with Hendrix when he was 19 years old or whatever in New York, and I'm just a year younger than him, and I missed out on a few of those things. But we both had wonderful long careers, but Ted does. Ted chooses to inject politics into his musical performance, and we choose to stay as far away from it as we can.
Which is a smart move, although I got to tell you something, and you can quote J.Y., James Young, here right now. You just mentioned who a perfect running mate for Donald Trump would be, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent for vice president.
How about
sure.
that? Wang dang doodle this, my friend.
Right. The Motor City VP.
Oh, man.
All right, so Styx.
He lives in Texas.
What?
He lives in Waco, Texas now.
Does he?
Boy, that fits in appropriately.
Pronounced Waco or Waco? Help me with the pronunciation on that.
All right, JY's not going to answer. So you're still playing with Tommy Shaw. I mean, I got to tell you, Tommy Shaw and Dennis DeYoung got all the credit when you think about Styx and everything, but you were there just like they were, and you still haven't talked to Dennis DeYoung at all, huh?
No, he and I have not spoke since somewhere in June or July of 99.
I find that shocking.
I wish Dennis well. We did some great work together.
Absolutely.
Tommy and I just had no desire to work with him ever again, and we've gone on our separate ways, and he's out performing, Dennis DeYoung, performing the music of Styx, which is, after he sued us in federal court over the use of the name, is what we've settled on. We get to use the name, we pay him an override, and he has to refer to himself in that way and no other way. So
I hate when it comes to that, but it does. You have creative differences, definitely, and, you know, some of the early Styx was definitely like prog rock.
Well, my influence is there. It's a lot more buried than and Tommy and Dennis really wrote hit songs. I was the guy who was more trying to be at the far cutting edge. And the first four Styx records on Wooden Nickel, I'm the lead vocalist on side one, track one on the first four albums. I'm the only one that's played on every Styx show going back to 1970.
Look at that.
And then when Dennis...
And I signed every tax return since
absolutely.
All our entities, yeah.
And then when Dennis DeYoung was out of the picture, J.Y., why didn't you get Sammy Hagar to replace him? What went wrong there?
Well, Sammy's made a fortune on tequila, and he just does what he wants.
I guess.
Then it would have been Styx Hagar.
Styx Hagar, that's
instead
weird.
Instead of Van Hagar.
That's weird. You know what I remember, and this is a strange memory, but you can certainly answer this better than anybody. When you guys had one of the top songs in the country, when Lady was breaking big, it was in the top 10, You guys were playing like still proms and turnabouts near in the area. I remember a school near us. I went to Oak Forest High School, but one of our rivals, when Lady was like the number 8 or number 9 song in the country, you guys were playing their prom right then and there.
Well, you've got to start somewhere, and the reason I got together with Dennis and the Panazzo Brothers was that they were working musicians, and I was sort of the starving artist whose band had played at the first rock festival in Illinois at Kickapoo Creek in 1970, whereas those guys, they were playing basically all covers that the average individual wanted to hear. So they were working, and I was a starving musician with a college degree in engineering for my IT. But I joined them up, and I had no idea that somehow I would complete them and they would complete me, and all of a sudden my addition to that band, all the elements were there for success, and within 14 months we had a recording contract.
What a story. That's great.
It is, and I want to play a little something just to refresh people's memory about a song that you wrote. Hit it, Kevin. Here she comes, Miss America. It's called Miss America. A great song, and I just think you were so ahead of your time because it's kind of mean and dark and against the exploitation of women in these pageants. And what year was this, 76, 77?
77. Well, Dennis had come up with a concept for the Grand Illusion, and to me, the fame is such a fleeting thing. You see it in the music business. You have one-hit wonders from the 60s. I know that song, but the life of me cannot remember who did that because they only had one hit song, and fame being the fleeting thing, that Miss America was just kind of a guaranteed, nobody remembers, there's how many Miss Americas can you actually name by name?
But that's so weird, because back in 77, that's what we all did. We used to watch Burt Parks do the stupid Miss America contest.
Oh.
And we used to...
Yeah.
There we go. But we all watched them, and it's so funny that you picked it apart in 77, because now that's what I do feel this is total exploitation of women. Didn't they take away the bikini or the swimsuit competition, or no?
No, I think it's still intact.
Is it really?
Yeah. Hmm. Did you ever hear anything negative from the pageant, the people who run the pageant, James?
No, irony was when, what's her name now? Got in trouble for the naked picture.
Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, thank you. I had a friend a good friend in rock radio out east. He goes, oh, we got to get Miss America on the radio every cross country. And I go, just leave it alone. You know, it's okay. And,
yeah.
Because It wasn't really. I wasn't being that critical of the pageant things. Just in the sense that it's fame is so fleeting, and that's one of the grand illusions, and that's how it's fit into the theme of that album.
Well, I love that record. I like all your work, and I'm telling you, Styx fans, go out and see James JY, James Young, and Tommy Shaw, and the rest of the band. You got a good group together, and putting out the magic on stage. Champagne Tonight. Rockford on the 21st, Joliet on the 24th, Milwaukee on the 30th. Oh, so many other dates. You can go to Styx.com. JY, thank you so much. And say hi to Terry Gibson.
StyxWorld.com.
I'm sorry, what?
StyxWorld.com. We don't have that domain. We could have had it for $5,000 at one point in time, Styx.com, but someone thought that was too much to pay for.
Oh, so
it is.
We are StyxWorld.com.
All right, StyxWorld.com. Say hi to Terry Gibson. I worked at the Loop radio station with him.
Terry speaks very highly of you.
He's a liar.
Wow.
He's in the radio business. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know. Good to talk to you, JY, and keep rocking.
Okay. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Seems like a nice man,
but
doesn't
we'll
he?
Never work with Dennis DeYoung again.
And stress never, like you
never.
Go, well, never's a long time, but it sounds like never to me, doesn't it?
It's never.
It's too bad. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I don't follow sports very frequently. Do you know who Laquan Treadwell is?
No.
All right, good. I don't feel so bad. He's a Vikings rookie wide receiver. And the Vikings gave him a really weird 21st birthday present, and I thought of you for some reason.
Oh, yeah?
Because you and I oftentimes speak of, boy, if we had a lot of money to do goofy, you would do mean pranks to people. I would do, like, pleasant, smiley pranks.
Right.
But the
pleasant pranks.
The Vikings, this is a pleasant prank. They filled his entire car with fruit snacks, 60,000 bags of fruit snacks, to be exact.
Wow. I hope now there must be some history, right? Does he love fruit snacks? Why would they just pick something at random? He must be a big purveyor of fruit snacks.
Well, it appears quarterback Teddy Bridgewater and tight end Kyle Rudolph of the Vikings were behind the prank. They took all these Welch's fruit snacks. And
just filled the whole car.
If he's filled, wow. It's 60,000.
Wow,
is it 60,000 bags? Yeah, 60,000 bags. It's his rookie birthday, and he can maybe share it with the fellow rookies.
Mm-hmm.
If he eats 3 bags of fruit snacks per day, one with every meal, it would take him 54 years to finish this supply. This is from SBNation.com. Are there further rules to this prank? Can he take all of the snacks out of the car? Does he have to eat them out? Does he have to wait until he eats all the fruit snacks to drive it again?
Good question. Very good question. He's got to, there's got to be an expiration date on fruit snacks. So my hope is he's giving some of them to the needy, to the fruit snackless, because you can't eat that many. It's impossible.
His whole Range Rover is filled. For some reason, this picture is not coming up, but you should look it up.
It's very funny.
Vikings left 60,000 bags of fruit snacks in Laquan Treadwell's car as a prank. It doesn't say why, though.
Just to mess with him. It's his birthday. He's not expecting it. I understand that. I'd do something like that.
21st
birthday. If I had the money.
I know. See, wouldn't you like to? Those are fun.
Constantly.
Pranks. Those aren't like something would, you know, scare you or pop out at you.
Right.
That would take me like a week.
It would take you a week, Kevin,
maybe,
to get rid
I'm
of all those?
But you know how I am with gummies. I just burn through them.
You are pretty quick. Once in a while, I will go get a bag of gummies at Dylan's Candy Bar. And Kevin, at one point one day, there was a really big bag, and he said, I'll just hold them in here. And I figured, mm-hmm. Okay, that's good, because, you know, we should be focusing on the show. So I went in there to grab a handful, completely gone.
Yeah, I was hoping and thought you would forget about them.
I'm keeping
so
them
easy.
In here just meant, like, so when you want them, come in. But no, they were gone-ski.
That's not what it actually meant. Yeah.
Do you remember that story that kept popping up year after year about those two brothers that would kind of like outdo each other every year on their birthday?
Yeah.
They would do something insane to each other. You'd hear about them every year, and then I don't remember the last time I heard what the last chapter was. I hope those brothers are okay. But they, like, one of them would wake up, and there'd be 1,000 of something on their lawn in the morning, and then the next year the brother would do something even more outrageous to the other brother. But that was like such a staple for a while, and
it was cute.
I haven't heard anything in 5 or 6 years.
All right, who won the Sweet Alley's bakery sampler? Do we know, Kev?
Kevin is still working on that.
I think we had a winner. But he's talking to Bobby Brown's people. But congratulations.
Right.
I think it said Linda from somewhere.
Oh.
Who scored the Sweet Alley's bakery sampler. Gluten-free, delicious. You'll love it if you didn't get Dad a present. Who won the package?
Linda in Naperville.
There you go. All right. Should we take a break and
yes.
talk to do some news and then Bobby Brown on the phone?
That's what's coming. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I actually know this song.
Sing along, Wendy.
No.
Come on.
But I have to tell you right now, I pride myself on spelling things correctly.
Yeah.
And if I was Bobby Brown, I would have spelled the name of my song, My Prerogative, incorrectly.
I don't understand. How, is he not? He is spelling it
he's
right?
He's spelling it right. I would have spelled it wrong.
Oh.
Prerogative. I didn't realize that. I thought it was prerogative. He spelled it right. I want to give him...
Spell it out for me a little bit.
P-R-E.
P-R-E. Prerogative?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I didn't know it was spelled that way either.
I looked it up because I thought, wait, did
it's prerogative, but it's spelled prerogative? You sure?
Yep.
You want to...
No, I believe you.
No, I like to bring out this little lady. Hi, little lady. How's it going?
Hello, lady.
Prerogative.
Oh, it's a man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right, listen.
Prerogative.
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 I never
yeah,
knew
I've
that.
Said it wrong and spelled it wrong.
For,
if I've ever spelled it, I'm trying to think if I have ever spelled it, but I would have spelled
prerogative.
It incorrectly.
Prerogative.
Oh.
I would have spelled it completely wrong, but Bobby Brown spelled it right on his song, and he is going to be in town tonight.
For a spelling bee, oddly enough.
I'm telling you. I'm pretty proud. Honestly, I don't have a very big vocabulary, but I'm very good at spelling things.
Sure.
And if you said spell prerogative, I would have said P-E-R-O-G-A-T-I-V-E.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way.
All right. Well, he is going to be at Anderson's Bookshop in downtown Naperville tonight at 7 p.m. You can go meet Bobby Brown. He has a new book called Every Little Step. And he, it's a memoir.
Imagine a stranger bunch of years than Bobby Brown has had. It's impossible.
I can't. He wants to set the record straight in his new book about the wild ride of his life, especially his marriage to Whitney Houston. And he is on the line with us, not right now.
They are loading up Bobby Brown as we speak, Wendy.
He has always been bothered that people tend to think that he's the one who brought down Whitney Houston by introducing her to drugs.
Yeah, I've heard that.
He is challenging it in the new book. And Bobby Brown on the line with us. We were just talking about you're going to be out at Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville tonight, 7 o'clock. Yeah. And this book, you want to set the record straight. This is called Every Little Step, My Story. And Bill and I are thinking what a story it's been.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's just the book is 47 years of my life. The book is not about, you know, any other individual but myself. And I wrote this, you know, it has a therapeutic for me because I feel I'm moving on with my life. I'm growing. I'm being. I'm a better person, and I want to be a better brother. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better, lover. You put all of those together.
Was there a certain thing that made you want to be a better person? I mean, our condolences about the death of Whitney and your daughter Christina. I mean, just heartbreaking news. What made you want to be a better person all the way around?
Well, I've been working on myself for a long time. I mean, I'm clean from narcotics for 12 years, and the only thing that is hurting me is the things that was inside of my heart that I felt that was, you know, garbage. Things that I felt that didn't need to be inside my heart or my head. And putting it on paper is really simple.
And is it kind of therapeutic for you then, too? To get the truth out there?
It's extremely therapeutic because you get it out and you don't have to worry about it. You have to move on. And I'm on every day. I'm on every day for my mother, my father, my ex-wife, my daughter. I'm on every day. So,
Bobby,
I have to get it out.
Do you think looking back now, and I know to write a book about your life, that's kind of what you have to do is look back on it all. Do you think if you had to do it all again, you would have chosen show business?
Of course, I would have chosen show business. That's what I am. This is what's in my DNA. I'm a performer. I love performing. I love singing. I love getting an immediate reaction from the crowd. So, yeah, I would have chosen this business all again.
Even with the trappings and the dark side of show business, and when you look at all the things that have happened to you, both good and bad, probably some, if not all of them, were accelerated by the fact that it was show business. But even knowing that, you would still choose show business, correct?
Yes, I would. Because what happened in my life, when you read the book, you realize that I become a better man throughout the whole book. I get better and better with time. And I have a reason to live. I have, right now I have a reason to live, and I have a reason to be comfortable in my skin, to be comfortable with who I am, because everything else is out there. So anything that I feel is a secret or something somebody knows, I can't answer for that because I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to be a better person. And I have to be a better person because I have too much to lose.
Bobby Brown on the line with us. He's going to be out at Anderson's Bookshop tonight in Naperville, 7 o'clock, 123 West Jefferson Avenue. To feel comfortable in your own skin, I think we all go through our whole lives trying to do that. Whether you don't feel like you're a good parent or you've gained too much weight, it's very difficult to be comfortable in your own skin.
You know what you just named? Two of the things that that bothered me, and that the reason why I am working harder on myself, the weight and being a good parent. My kids love me dearly. I love them beyond compare. And we're all mourning, but at the same time, they are my key to success. They are my key to strength. They are my key to loving myself a lot more than I used to. And I'm so grateful that I have such a solid support unit, which keeps me well.
When Whitney Houston died, when Bobby Christina died, was there a time when you just said, "That's it, man, I feel like giving up"?
No. You know what? Unfortunately and fortunately, we had a love that will last forever, me and Whitney. And it will last forever. My daughter is my daughter. And, excuse me, losing my daughter is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Losing a child before you go. I know what my mother and my father must have felt when we lost my sister Bessie before they passed away. And the only thing I can do is try to make myself better and keep working on making myself better. I'm not good for anyone if I'm not good for myself.
Truer words have never been spoken, Bobby. Every little step, it's my story. It sounds real. It sounds raw. And you can go meet him tonight in Naperville at 7 o'clock, Anderson's Bookshop, 123 West Jefferson Avenue in Naperville, Illinois. We wish you continued success in your healing and being a better person.
Thank you so much.
We all need to be better people, too, so maybe we should take some inspiration from you.
I can't judge anybody else, but you know, I can look at myself and I can, you know what I'm doing wrong for myself. And I think everybody needs to look at that. Not just men, but women also. You know, we all need to just look at ourselves. And I really just want to say thank you for everything, for having me on your show. And just being real. I mean, y'all keep people informed on the real things, and I appreciate it.
Every little step, my story, Bobby Brown.
Take care of yourself, Bobby. Happy Father's Day to you, and good luck with everything.
Oh, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much. It's Bobby Brown.
Right.
The book, again, called Every Little Step.
My story.
My story, and what a story it is. He's been through the ringer, Bobby Brown has. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. We have a little bit more for you, and then Roe and Ann will be in. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm a little concerned for Bobby Brown.
I'm a little worried about Bobby Brown.
I know Justin Kaufman talked to him, and he seemed a little more up and alert. Maybe he was just taking an afternoon nap, seriously, because he's going to be out in Naperville. And I don't know where he's staying, but if he's staying downtown, he better leave now or he won't get there by 7 on a Friday.
Right. Please, Bobby Brown, if you're within the sound of our voice, please leave now for your job. I didn't realize until just a few short days ago, I never claimed to know everything about Bobby Brown, but I read the...
You do behind the scenes.
I do some behind the scenes work over at the National Enquirer, and I didn't know that Janet Jackson played such a large role in his life. Did you know that? He was in love with Janet Jackson, and she broke Bobby Brown's heart, as she did with Kevin, our producer, and with Steve Bertrand and me. At some point, Janet Jackson has broken all of our hearts.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's still too painful for us, Wendy.
Well, also from the Daily Mail, for years there's been speculation that Whitney Houston's ex-husband Bobby Brown was responsible for her drug addiction, but now her older brother Michael has revealed that he was the one who introduced her to the drugs.
Forever, people thought with that relationship, that very volatile relationship between Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston, that he corrupted her, but now more and more people are coming forward and saying it was the exact opposite.
Her own brother.
Her brother. Yep.
And, I mean, it's just... I don't like when things end in tragedy. I really don't.
Of course not.
And, you know, if they want to do drugs, that's their own business. But I hate the fact that one of them is dead now and then their daughter.
Yeah.
And to hear him talk about parents should not be burying their kids.
you know, there's the whole weirdness with the guy that Christina fell in love with, who was kind of adopted by Whitney Houston, brought up. They were not technically brother and sister, but they were
raised together.
And that gets weird. And then people have tried to figure out exactly what his role is in her death and in Whitney Houston's death. And we only had Bobby Brown on with us for a short amount of time, and I didn't think it was appropriate to ask in such a short amount of time answers to questions that could have taken a lot longer to answer. So I stayed away from that.
Well, we didn't get a copy of the book. This was kind of a last minute thing, but it really seems sad yet interesting. Every Little Step, My Story. You can go meet Bobby Brown tonight at Anderson's Bookshop, Naperville, 7 o'clock. He might be late. I don't know.
This has got to be at some point. This is absolute perfect for a made for TV movie, isn't it? What he's been through over the last couple of decades.
He was on top of the world.
He was on top of the world.
On top of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bobby Christina had some issues too, and depression, and I don't know. I'm sure it's all in the book, but I do know that he got blamed for a lot of things, and it's he said, she said.
You're not there, you just kind of deciding for yourself what happened and what really didn't happen. So get the book. It's called Every Little Step, My Story by Bobby Brown and Nick Chiles.
Can I just tell you, you really made his day, though, and the only time, I mean, he really sounded like he just woke up from a nap, and maybe he did.
Maybe, yeah.
But when you said Happy Father's Day to him, that, like,
he
totally,
perked up,
yeah,
didn't
totally
he?
Turned him around.
He's got, I think he has had six kids, Bobby Christina no longer with us, but I believe he is the father to six children. I'm almost positive. I know he's got quite a few kids.
And he's married and
lives
in...
Yeah, he got remarried a few years ago.
Los Angeles with his wife and children, his current wife and children. And
do you remember when, like, immediately after Whitney Houston died, he was on tour, and I don't remember if he didn't cancel any shows or what that was, but he didn't really take any significant amount of time off, and everybody assumed that it was kind of insensitive of him to not take time off, but he chose to continue to work during that.
You know, this being a performer and doing stand up and also being in radio, sometimes this is the only answer because you don't want to deal with it yet. So
yeah, I bet that's true.
You know what I mean? You want to, I can't focus on that right now. The show must go on, and it lets you have an escape where you don't have to deal with it yet. So he can't be, how could you fault someone? Everybody processes death differently.
When he was being widely criticized for that, well, how much could he really care? He just continues to work when all this is going on. I totally understood it. And I went, no, if this is his, like you just said, if that's his way of dealing with it, then who can decide otherwise for him?
I am so sick and tired of people judging other people. And I'm telling you, social media brought that. It always went on before. Come on, we all got judged in high school and junior high. But now there's so much judging and shaming and blaming.
Right.
And I mean, if someone can walk right in front of this Allstate Showcase studio right now who's perfect, who never made a mistake.
Right.
Do it now. I'll wait. I'm going to do like this wacky DJ stunt where we're just going to wait till the perfect person comes.
All right. So again, just to reiterate what Wendy said, no more judging, no more shaming. And as a side note, the forbidden pants that I'm wearing are on Facebook, the ones that Wendy made fun of me for both yesterday and earlier today.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count. That's not judging to really hurt your feelings.
Because my feelings are. You've known me a long time. Have you ever seen my feelings are obviously hurt. If you want to see the forbidden pants that I'm wearing to work today, go to our Facebook page, Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, and judge along.
All right. Fine. Wear the shorts.
You gave it quickly.
Well, because I just said no judging or shaming or blaming.
Right.
We learned a valuable lesson. And I'm judging you for your lame-ass shorts.
Today we learned a valuable lesson, didn't we? We'll take a quick break.
All right. You win.
And then Ro and Anna will be in. We'll find out what they have coming up in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.